Blog Talk Radio.
This is a shot sale. Here we go again.
Live from our studios in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com.
The studio is heated up. I don't know if you guys can hear me. I hope somebody can. Let's see. We're going to bring 661 on. That's my co-host, Nancy Mum. Nancy?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I am.
Hello.
Are you,
it is so good to have you here. Yes, very good.
Good.
Yes, I'm feeling very Swedish tonight. Yes, full moon almost coming up. I don't know how I sound. Why do I do that? I'm your host, John Almada. I have not been on the air for a while. Some of you might have noticed. We had Mom in the shop for more repairs. So I took her in for her second eye operation. The poor woman, she had cataracts. So she was actually functionally blind earlier this month, and now we've had two operations, and she's currently resting up in the house right now, God bless her, and Dad has been checking on her. We had a sighting just before, about an hour and a half ago. I was sitting in my room writing on my book that I'm working on, and all of a sudden I see a man just cross by. And this guy was like big, over 6 feet tall. And I just see this big hulking man go walking by, and I jump up and run in, and she's laying there. And I said, did you see that? And she goes, no. And I says, well, here's what I saw. And I explained it to her. She says, well, I was just talking to your father.
Aww.
And I go, oh, I get it. So it was likely him. It wasn't even 10 seconds after she started talking to him that this figure just walks by, and so I caught him, corner of my eye, I see him, and he's wearing a white shirt and kind of like a blue-colored pants is what I saw. So, specters in the house, including my father the ghost. I never thought I'd be saying these things. I never did. Anyway.
Was he tall? Over 6 foot tall?
Yeah, my dad was 6'1", and I'm 6'1". And so he was up there, you know. I mean, and it was really strange because it was a gliding motion, which is the only other time I've seen him like that was the day after he passed here in February. And the day after, I was in the kitchen and I saw him actually reel his life, middle of the day. And this time I looked right at him, and mm-hmm. he's wearing kind of a dirty T-shirt, and he's got these, he's got the kind of like PJs on is what I saw him in. Like he was, he'd been in for the last month of his life. And he was walking into the back room, into the laundry room, and so it was just. But today he looked a little different, and it was definitely, it was just so quick. I mean, I just saw it, corner of the eye. I just caught it. I was just happened to start looking that way when I saw it go by, So he is around, and they do come back and just check on us. So he's I'm sure he's fully integrated on the other side, but. Yeah, wow, you don't expect stuff like that.
How did he look different? You said he looked a little different. How did he look a little different?
More tall. The thing was, at the end he was much more frail and kind of bent over. And this time it's much more, there's much more presence. And the way I kind of, the feeling I got was younger man. So he's not presenting as like the old self. It was a tall, a big drink of water kind of thing, like he would have been in his mm-hmm. 30s and 40s and 50s. He really was there, in your face. So, it's been interesting because I've been actually reliving a lot of all this. So I'm writing the book. I'm writing a book called Soulstream, which is kind of the name of this show. And I'm going through and reliving a lot of this stuff, going back to our early days of my family and the mediumship that came over with my family from Scotland. And so I've been researching family history. I'm also, appealing to those of you I've read before on the show, because, it's funny, I hate to admit this, but I don't write down all the readings and I don't remember the ones, a lot of them, after I'm done with them, they just kind of go in and out. I remembered a few basic ones that really stuck with me. And so I've been contacting, including Nancy. I mean, Nancy, my co-host here, we had an extraordinary reading in July of 2011, and we actually did it on Facebook.
And, can you believe that? Wow.
Yeah, and your family came through for me, and I even, your husband came through. I didn't know your husband's name, and he came through very clearly. And so we have the entire transcript of that, we're going to go through. But there's a bunch of you out there, though, that I've read for, and if that reading turned out to be something special, and you remember about when we did that, and and it's on the air. Let me know. Get a hold of me on Facebook, find a way to grab somebody who knows me, and get hold of me because I'd like to talk with you and see about the ones we're gonna, the readings we're gonna bring into the book, and if you're willing to be part of that process. So, I'm really looking for the ones that where we really hit it on the mark, or we were pretty close, And you know what? No medium. It's funny. I just heard this tonight. No medium is ever 100%. It's definitely that. We do have the nights we miss. So I'll throw a few of those in too, where I kind of missed the boat. I was having an off night, and it does happen to us all. But tonight we've got someone special on, and she actually popped on my Facebook page on Soulstreams, my Soulstreams page, because some German fellow took the name Soulstream on Facebook and took my page. How dare he? So I had to come up with an S, Soulstream.
He was jealous, John. He was just jealous.
I know. The German, he was a ne'er-do-well. So anyway, he took my page, and I'm still lodging a protest with the United Nations. But anyway, we've got Colleen Craig with us tonight, and she reads Monday nights on Blog Talk Radio at the Psychic Viewpoint. And that's at 8 o'clock Eastern, so 5 o'clock here in the Pacific, here in the uncultured Western United States. We're all cowboys,
Yep.
So she is an intuitive psychic medium, and I'm going to read off a bit of the bio here. She works with the tools of clairvoyance, clairaudience, and claircognition. She sees and converses with angels and spirits, and she does see and receive messages from souls who have crossed over. She can also introduce you to your guides or angels that are hanging out with you. Imagine that, angels hanging out with you. I mean, I get the coffee and there's an angel standing there. Hey, you
want
something from? Hey, how you doing, guy? Yeah, I'll take coffee. Yeah, but most often she can tell you what their job is or why they're here to help you with these particular beings. And so she can also ask questions of any of the beings that she connects with, and will act as the conduit or middle woman between you and them. And it's a really fascinating process. So she, like many, so many mediums here, Colleen says she didn't always see things the way other people, classmates, coworkers, parents, or friends saw them. But it wasn't until a series of events in 2008 that she began to realize and acknowledge her abilities, which is very strange because that was about the time this happened to me. And I started doing all this stuff. So you, her and I are on the same page here. She began doing public readings on Blog Talk Radio. You sure you're not my sister, Colleen? And at local events. She was afraid that her personality would change, and you know, they're going to get you. That's it. They were going to get us both. But it didn't. She is still the same, shoot from the hip, brutally honest, double Sagittarian, redheaded, pain in the rump that she's always been, with a warped sense of humor. You fit right in here at Soulstream. Colleen is still growing and learning in this body, in this time and space. She has no idea how far these gifts could go. I know the feeling. Maybe one little tiny idea she has of that. She reads and works in her own spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental growth every day, and she welcomes you to talk with her. So what I'm going to do, by the way, she can be found, yeah, here's the Monday night at Blog Talk Radio. She can also be found at www.pmp-advisors.com for private readings by phone, chat, or email. So with that, I'm going to bring her on. Let me find the number, because we have a ton of callers in, too. We're going to be jumping right into readings. I can see that. So I've got her down here. I think this is Colleen. Are you with me?
Yes, I am. That was a great reading, John.
Well,
I never heard
you
say that out loud before.
Well, you know, I oddly enough, before I did the mediumship stuff, I was doing general paranormal programming, and we did a lot of guest hosting. So I have a format that I just refer back to when I bring guests on. So I just dive right in and just start doing the intros, and it was all natural.
I've done this before, you know. I've had guests on, you know. So, but yeah, hey, welcome aboard,
and you know, you've got a bunch of people waiting for you to do the readings. If you want to just talk a little bit about, you know, I mean, how did you come to this whole thing of realizing you were a medium? I mean, because it sounds similar to my story.
Well, in 2008, I quit smoking. November 1st, 2008. 3 weeks later, I ended up in the hospital with severe chest pains. And they went to do a stress test. This is kind of a roundabout way. Mm-hmm. Right before Thanksgiving, they did a stress test, and whatever the medication was, I reacted to it. And there was a light that, like, blew up my spine and just, like, blew up my head. And I just started screaming with the most incredible headache ever. But it was like a tree. Like, I could see every blood vessel in my head was lit up.
Wow.
And they rushed me off to MRI to see if, you know, I had blown a gasket or something. And it was never explained. All they came up with was, well, you've got high blood pressure. Well, I didn't go in there with high blood pressure. Mine has always been, you know, 110 over 70. So it was an unexplained event, but I ended up having to stay there for 5 days. After I got out, I started doing readings with a friend of mine, and I started going to a psychic development group. And I just started doing messages right away, like the second class, he's like, okay, stand up and do it, and it came out pretty easily, and through doing the readings, I found out that I could, I was coming up with all these beings, and that's how I found my own guides, actually, and it's been interesting. I've learned all kinds of stuff about the other side now.
Wow. I mean, you went from having this amazing experience. I mean, so it was like 2 days, and you were just wide open. I mean, so your chakras were just all lit up and opened up, and boom, you're connected.
Yeah, and I think it was a long time coming because I had had, you know, and then you go back and look back on it because I'm also writing a book, too, about angels in my life. And I start to look back and I think, well, this has been going on a long time. Light bulbs hopping and things banging around and, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Knowing stuff.
Yeah. it seems like it announces itself.
The hospital stay was the point that I gave in and said, okay.
Well, that's the funny thing is I had a heart attack at age 28 and I was in I had a similar thing. I mean, I was given digoxin. They gave me the choice of because I was in atrial fibrillation, and I was actually going into a full-blown heart attack. And I had they gave me the choice. Okay, we're going to give you the shock or you could take the drug. And I went, I'll take the drug, and it had like a 50% rate of success. So they give me the drug, and I get sick immediately, and I leave my body. And I was in total denial about my spiritual abilities for about 10 years in my 20s. And here I am, 28. I have this experience. I leave my body. I'm out for just a very short time, and then I'm right back in. And I'm left, you know, completely blown away. So after that, I decided that it was time to start embracing that. Yeah, that gets your attention.
The funny thing is, They didn't give me the nuclear medicine because somebody wrote on my chart that I had asthma. I don't have asthma. I have sleep apnea.
Oh, my
God. That's the only reason they gave me the different medicine that set this off.
Wow.
So I mean,
it was a total mistake that was meant to happen, huh?
I bet you an angel wrote that on your chart so you would get jump started.
That's right. I kind of knew on my way between work, I drove myself to the hospital, between work and the hospital that this is, you know, I heard very clearly, you've got to go through this. And I was already like, yeah, fine. You know, I'm in so much pain right now anyway.
Wow.
Oh, my God. So I mean, what do you now? So now you're actually reading, professionally. I mean, you're doing this on the side, or you know, is it full time? And you've got like, you know, how does it work for you now?
It's part time, but it's all I do. I am the short of it is that I work too long at a job. About 2 years longer than Spirit would have had me do there, so a lot of crap happened.
Oh, okay.
I mean, people who do this know what I'm talking about. And so now I am unemployed and just doing this part-time.
All right. Well, we will open the doors for you to all these. I mean, I've got the board completely full for you. So, are you ready to launch in?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, we're going to turn them loose. So I'm going to read off, before we go, I'm going to read off the whole list of everybody we have out there by area code. So I see a 913 is going to be first in the queue. I've got a 612, a 248, two 248s here. One starting with an 8 prefix and the other is a 4 prefix. And then 602, I got a 913. And let me scroll down just a little bit here. And another 913. So I'm going to go ahead and bring on the first. Oh, we have three 913s. So, wow, the 913s are big tonight. So I'm going to bring the first 913. 913 caller, you're on SoulStream. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. What's your name?
My name is Andy, A-N-D-I.
Okay.
And I'm calling from Kansas.
All right. Well, we've got Colleen on the line who's going to be able to work with you to do a reading, and I'm going to turn Colleen loose. Here we go.
Well, great. Thank you so much. Hi, Colleen.
Andy,
how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Do you have a particular area you want to look at?
I kind of do. I'm back in school. For a graduate degree, and kind of gone back a little bit later in life, and overall, it's been a little bit challenging here. I think things are getting better, but it's been kind of a rough past couple of years with some other life events and things swirling on around me.
Can you just give me your question and whoever is working with you from that?
Can you tell me just what you see in terms of after finishing the degree, the type of setting I'll be working in? Because that's a bit of a confusing area for me right now.
Okay. Right. I see for you is it looks professional. It looks like an office, but more I see children coming in. This is like a children's clinic or something like that, or an activity center. Does that make any sense?
Sure, possible.
Okay. I see there's a lot of kids. There's a playroom for them. So this is definitely services to children. And I'm pulling up an angel here who is going to help you on finding your way here. You have 2 years of school left. Is that right?
Probably closer to three. Yeah.
Closer to three? Okay. I'm getting an M name. Now, I want to say Michael or Matthew. Those are pretty common names. But, okay, Micah. M-I-C-A, okay?
Okay.
He's tall and thin. He's got kind of a round face, but he laughs a lot. And his hair is brown and very curly, okay?
Okay.
Seems to me he works as your play guide. You're taking yourself way too seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
He's laughing at you because it really, if you just breathe and relax, he says you're flowing right in the right direction, but you want to help all the time. Okay.
Okay.
You're flowing down your path, but you feel like, oh, well, I need to do something. I need to help this along. And he wants you to stop trying so hard. Okay?
Oh, okay.
It's going to happen, and it's going to happen. You have all the help that you need over there, okay? You've also got a blonde-haired child. She looks like maybe 12 or 13 years old. Her hair is really long down to her waist. Caucasian and lots of freckles, very thin arm, and she's wearing like a sundress. Okay, does this sound like anybody you might know?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, I'm getting like an S name, like Susie, but it's something a little bit more, I want to say a little more southern. Susanna. Something with an S, okay?
Okay.
She's going to leave you a daisy, okay?
Okay.
The white flower with the yellow in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's a daisy, right? She's going to leave you a daisy someplace. It looks like on a shelf, but you're not at home, okay? This could be a store, and it's going to be out of place, so you're going to notice it.
Okay.
Okay? And I can just tell you, Micah likes to, he doesn't exactly kick you in the shins, but he likes to tickle you on the back of your right calf, okay?
Okay.
All right, so then you'll be reminded that he's there. And you're doing fine. You know, everything's going exactly the way it's supposed to go. You just need to relax on all that worrying and stuff.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great night.
Thanks.
All right. Let's see. That is. I gotta hit the mic here. Are you guys hearing me?
Yes.
I wasn't sure if I hit the button right. I don't know how to run my own studio, you know. It's funny. The minute you started, you hung up there. The mind lamp. I have a quantum device called a mind lamp here in my studio, and it turned a perfect shade of purple. Very spiritual. See, we've got the next caller is going to be the 612. I'm going to bring 612. 612, you're on SoulStream. What's your name and where are you from? Going once. Going twice. I see you out there, 612. Are you awake? I'm going to give you one more chance. Okay, we'll put them back on hold and get around back to them on the next try. 248, I'm going to bring you on, 248 with the 8 prefix. 248, you're on SoulStream. What's your name? Where are you from?
I am going to go by EB, and I am from Michigan.
Okay. Hi, Edie.
Hi. And my question for you is, I actually just had kind of a fight with a friend, and I'm just wondering if you can tell how things are going to pan out.
Okay, was this a male friend?
It was.
Okay. I think it's going to be fine. He, it's one of those things that's going to blow over. The fight doesn't, it seemed big at the time, but in a week it's not going to be, seem like such a big deal. Okay, does that, the subject matter, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You both got kind of under the collar about it, but you're going to figure out, you know, I'm getting like 5 to 7 days here that, you know, you're both going to cool off and realize that your friendship's more important.
Okay. So you feel like this friendship is something that's worth cooling off about?
Well, this is what I feel that you two are going to come to realize. That this friendship is worth cooling off about, and that the, whatever the subject matter was is not more important than your friendship.
All right, I've been trying to kind of find the, trying to figure out lately the kind of the purpose of this friend with all these issues that we've been having, and I guess I wanted guidance in that also.
Okay, well, let's go there, okay? And they're bringing up some incidences in my own life, which is the message from that is oftentimes our soulmates are there to teach us a lesson, and we're very drawn to these people, but they can be complete pain in the rear end, okay? But once you look back on it, you're going to realize just how much you grew and how much you learned. They're there to help you open your mind, to help you get rid of some old beliefs that don't work for you anymore. It can be highly annoying, okay? but you're drawn to this, you know what I mean? Because you guys set up this appointment with each other ahead of time. And the whole purpose is to expand your mind, expand your universe, okay? I don't feel that this is played out yet, okay? I think you still got a little bit more to go. I'm getting two years. And then one. It seems like one of you is going to be moving, okay? So it won't be such a close relationship anymore. It's going to kind of drift apart after that. Okay. So that's what he's there for.
All right. That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling. John.
Hello. Yes, it's a wonderful idea. Oh, it's Mr. Doubtfire, and here you are in the studio for John. Oh, I'm having a hot flash. Let's see. Let me go back to, I had the number, okay, she hung up. So the second 248 I'm going to bring in. They're coming in clusters here. It's like they're migrating in herds. They're coming into my show. I don't know how this works. Anyway, 248. With the 4 prefix, you're on SoulStream. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, I'm from Michigan, Metamora, Michigan.
All right. My name. What's your name?
Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hi. I have a question. I don't know who my guides are, and people keep trying to tell me that I should be able to figure it out or see them or whatever, and I'm not at that point.
Well, here's the thing. One of my favorite things to do is introduce you so that you two can go, or, you know, there's always more than one, so that you and your group of guides can talk whenever you want to, okay?
Cool.
Because I got a male and a female right away.
A female?
Yeah, there's. I have a male and a female.
Oh, both. Okay.
Usually, you know, usually there's, I pick up three or five right off the bat. So let me go around you, okay? There's the way I see it is the large protection guide is behind you. This one happens to be a very large angel, okay? This is going to be one of the archangels or one of the higher level angels. Because he has his wings spread out around you, okay, as a protection. Name, I'm getting with an H. I want to say Harry, but there's another name, okay, which I cannot pronounce. H-E, and then a whole bunch of consonants. Okay, he's a little bit serious. But he's there for protection. He's been there your whole life. Okay, now on your left shoulder behind you, as I have the male guide, and he's more the education guide. S-H. I want to say Shemp, but I know that's one of the Three Stooges, isn't it? Well, that's what it sounds like. Sounds like Shep. Okay, so and he's smaller and thinner. Okay, but and he's showing me his glasses. To me, that's the educational and intellectual side. Okay, that he's working with. It makes sense that he's on your left side. On your right side is the woman. She's the creative one. She's got sandy hair. It's down past her shoulders. She's wearing a gown type thing with poopy shoulders on it. Okay. It looks off-white, like eggshell white, something like that. She wants to know why you're not drawing. Did you used to draw and then you quit?
I don't know how to draw. I color.
Okay,
you know.
Color. All right. Well, she wants you to get your crayons out and color, okay? Don't forget to do that. It's very important. It's not childish. It's not meaningless, okay? It's very important to your right side and to your spirit to go ahead and draw. And if you are feeling too serious, you need to get on the floor and draw, okay?
Oh, okay.
And color. You need to get on the floor and color just like you were a kid, okay? If you can do it in the middle of a bunch of kids, that would be even better.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. Do you have children or grandchildren?
Grandchildren children came from them.
Okay, yeah. Okay. She definitely wants you to get on the floor with your grandchildren, okay? Now, the other two I usually see stand in front of you. They're not coming into focus. And these are usually the interesting ones. The one in front of you that's right in front of your feet. Well, I think my cat just knocked something over. The nice thing about having cats is that you can blame all, you know, activity on them, whether or not it really was them or not. Anyways, the one in front of you, this is going to be an animal. This looks like a lizard. It's not an iguana. This is more of a monitor lizard. Okay, it doesn't have the crest on its head. And he walks in front of you, and he sweeps the path in front of you with his tail. Okay?
Oh, wow.
So don't worry about five steps down the road, because he's sweeping your path right in the next step. Okay? To me, this is like you're trying to go too far ahead at once. You're trying to take step five and not paying attention to step one. Because you're worried, well, you know, there's this stuff in the way up there ahead. Don't worry about that. Okay?
Slow down.
Okay. Easier said than done, I'm sorry. Okay,
I was thinking I need to slow down.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, it's not just that. It's that the next thing in front of you is clear, But you're worried that five steps ahead of you, there's something in your way, you know, like a tree branch or something. And he's saying that, you know, just do the next thing. Don't worry about the next five things.
Very good.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay, then. oh, yeah, so you can talk to these guys now anytime you want. You've been introduced, so.
Oh, fantastic. I at one point I did see wings, but no one could tell me what those wings were, and that was just like killing me when I was meditating.
You've got your protection guide right there.
That's
okay.
Fantastic.
Because when you're kind of afraid of, like most of us, you know, if I open up, what's going to happen? Okay. So since you're kind of new at this opening up and meditating and talking to your guides and stuff, he wants to show you his wings so you know that you're protected and nothing bad can happen to you when you're doing that, okay? It's just a reassurance to you.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Okay, and keep doing your meditating. You're going to start getting more and more images like that.
Fantastic. Oh, thank you.
And ask questions. You know, if you get something and you don't understand what the heck it is, don't look to, you know, other earth people. Just ask them right in the meditation, well, what the heck does that mean?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I that's fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, we are going to take a brief station identification and then be right back into the readings. We've got a whole bunch going on. So I generally like to give guest mediums a chance to stretch and take a break for a couple of minutes between readings because this is really intense work what we do. And so
yes.
I'll give you a couple of minutes there, my friend, and then we'll have you right back in, okay?
Okay, and then I'm going to tell you a story, too.
You got it. We'll do that. So this is Soulstream on Blog Talk Radio. We're just going to run one of our intro pieces here and be right back.
From our studios in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soulstream on blogtalkradio.com.
Last night you were unhinged. You were like some desperate howling demon. You frightened me. Do it again.
That was a little bit of my favorite 80s movie, Top Gun. They're going to be doing a Top Gun remake here. I think that may actually be getting filmed now, and I think Tom Cruise may be in it. So we will look more from him. I wanted to talk before I bring Colleen back on a little bit about some stuff that's been happening here. I was scheduled to go on the 13th of October to my reunion, my 35-year reunion in Roseville, and I got the strangest feeling that I should not go, and I couldn't figure out why. And it was like everything in me was, it was like the spirit world was just saying, no, you can't go, no, no, no. And I finally gave into it. I talked to my mother and said, this is what I'm getting. What do you think? Am I nuts? And she said, every time you've done this, it's been right. So I said, all right, I'm going to sit back and wait and see what happens. So that weekend, I didn't drive at all. I went to go into to work the following Monday morning, and the car starts acting up. And you know, all of you who know me, I know I drive a red, you know, fantastic, beautiful Mustang. You know, her name is Sarah. Wonderful car. And I get down to work, and I think, okay, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm off here. And so I call my mechanic, and I explain what's happening, and she says, get on up here. And so I 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, the following Monday, I get in the car and it starts surging. And by the time I'm on Highway 50 heading home, I'm at the controls of the USS Enterprise, because it's, the engines are surging, and I could just see Scotty going, I'm giving all she's got, cutting. I don't know if she's going to make it, you know, and I'm driving this out of control Mustang and surging back and forth. And I'm staying on the right side of the road, trying to get, begging spirit, please, please just get me home. Please just, you know, don't let me leave me stranded up here. And I get all the way, I got all the way up to the third hill, heading up into the foothills. And this woman decides to come over and try to accost me and run me off the road in front of the CHP in the middle of this whole thing. So I'm sitting there going, I can't stop, and she's not letting me in because my right lane is petering out, and I'm having to merge in, and she's decided, and she's in a Mustang, a traitor, and so she's holding me off, you know, and finally she gives in, sees that my car is surging, and I'm like, you know, going back, and I'm trying to get in, lady, and so I get in, and I go another about 4 miles to get to my place. And by the time I get there, suddenly I realize, oh my God, I've got 3 stoplights to go through to get to my mechanic. So I, with everything I have in me, I'm going, please, please, please let every light turn green. Please, even when I get off the freeway, just let it be green when I get there. And it was. It turned all green. And I'm sitting there driving through going, miracle one, miracle two, miracle three. And the engine's, and Scotty's still going, no, Captain, I don't know. And I turn in, and I made it. And I now know why I did not go to my reunion, because I would have been out in the dark with that car stuck, and it would have actually, it would not have made it. And I was actually, the spirit world was intervening and preventing me from getting to that reunion. Not because they didn't want me to go, it was because my car was malfunctioning and I didn't know it was about ready to do that. And so $771 later, my car had new throttle sensors. It was the throttle sensors went bad, and the throttle body that held it was shot. And so the computer was sending crazy signals to my car. So Sarah was just going nuts, going, I don't know what to give you, but I'll give you gas and then not.
Yes, no, oh, yes, dude. No.
Oh, dear God, because it was awful. I mean, I felt bad. I was so embarrassed about missing it, because at first I thought, oh, God, if I tell people, they're not going to believe me. And I waited to do this show because I wanted to be on earlier to talk about it. But, you know, I want to get the word out. I was actually prevented, because otherwise I would have actually been in trouble, you know, getting down there. I probably would have gotten stuck, you know, someplace where somebody would have helped me, but the car would have been stuck and I would have missed anyway. So, hello. All right. So anyway, we're going to get back into getting Colleen on, and we've got a full board with more people to read, but she's going to have a story for us. So Colleen, are you back with me, my dear?
Yes, I am.
Were you listening to my story?
Yes, I was. That sounds very typical to me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. When you do reading work and you're in mediumship, it seems like you get a little extra care. I don't know what else to say, but they'll go out of their way. And if you're sensitive, it seems like they'll go out of their way to let you know, hey, you really don't want to do that.
Well, the funny thing is, I usually get I'll also get pushed to do things. I remember once I was living in a motel in Colorado. And actually Manatee Springs in Colorado.
Yeah.
And the spirit kept telling me, you know, get in your car and go downtown. I was like, and I'm arguing the whole time. I don't want to go out. I don't want to get dressed. I don't want to put my shoes on. You know, no, you have to go. And as I'm doing it, you know, I don't want to be there. I don't want to go. There's nothing going on down there, yada, yada, yada. And so, of course, you know, I drove down there and made around the loop, and I ran into a friend of mine. And just happened to pick them up and drive them home. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah, it's I've had that too. I mean, early in my development, and I was actually I totally forgot about this. So I'm going to put this in the book. I had an experience here in Shingle Springs. Same kind of thing. I got pushed into doing something that I'm not going to reveal the total thing, because it'll kind of spoil the book. But it for the book. But let's just say I was glad I did it. It was. I resisted the whole time, and I'm getting this spirit that was like really insistent, going, "No, you want to do this." And when I did it, it was one of the most spiritual transforming things I've ever been through. It was just amazing. So you'll have to read my book. I can't talk about it now. They're telling me I can't. So, but it's just trusting the message that comes through, and that's one of the things we're trained in. You know, when we do this work is the message that comes through. You just have to give it as you get it, and then trust what you're getting. And
right.
And yeah, and you're going to make mistakes, you know, but in interpreting
the
symbols sometimes.
Those of us that are particularly stubborn, we might have to learn by those mistakes.
Yeah, you know, being Scottish Islander, yeah, lass, I know, I get hit on the head with a hammer. Aye. So, what was your story, though? What thing did you have?
I was going to say, I'm running into more and more people who are just beginning to open up. And during the first couple of weeks at the psychic development class I went to, during the meditation was something I like to call vocabulary lessons. And
yeah.
I was very apprehensive about doing this kind of work because I didn't want to turn into, you know, like this foo-foo woman with long hair that wore skirts and, you know, beads and all that stuff. So, you know, I was seriously worried about this. So, but they gave me images that I could understand. And I learned that in the first 3 weeks. So they would give me an image and then it didn't go away until I got it, what it was. And at the end, he held up a rubber chicken and I thought, oh, I can so do this. My God could be pretty sarcastic too. So,
oh my God, I do the symbols too. It's funny. I'll see, and it seems to be getting better as I get further into doing this work. I'll see. I'll just see things from my own life. They seem to raid the cupboard of my mind. And I've always wondered how my guides feel about that. We'll just go through this and we're going to use. And you know, they must laugh like hell. I don't understand. But I get things, you know, strange incidents that have happened to me, or you know, they'll just give, you know, they'll take my idea of what a car looks like, or my idea of things I've, you know, places I've been, and give me the memories, and they'll play the memories I've had, and then I'll be able to translate that back to what the spirit is saying. I mean, is it similar for you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that just happened with the last caller. They showed me, you know, what did I learn from this last friendship in an answer to her question.
Yeah, what about when you get, I mean, you know, because I'm big on names. I mean, what's it like for you? Do you get, you know, what are your strengths, you know, with regard to your brand of mediumship? What, do you get names? Do you get places? You know, are you hearing them, seeing them?
I'll get when I first started, I would get the names first, and it was very odd because I didn't see anybody else doing that, so I was afraid to say it, and they would just keep pushing and pushing and pushing until I would say the whole name, and it would be right, and I'd be like, I can't believe that just happened, you know. Especially, like, if you have a night where, you know, like, three Franks come in all in a row, and it's like, oh, come on, this can't be right, you know? but I'll see an image, I'll get a name, then I start asking questions as soon as the person has asked me a question. I just keep asking questions.
It's funny you would say Frank, because that's my middle name is Franklin.
What?
I've been having a day of... Well, it's been a strange day. I was writing about somebody named Frank today, and my middle name is Franklin, and then you bring up Frank. If it's been, that's good. I like that.
Okay.
You're really good. You know? Well, are you ready to dive back in? Because we got callers lined up here.
Oh, yeah. The top of my head is just buzzing away.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring 602 on, and I'll just read off who we've got left here. We've got 602-913, a 925-er, another 913, and I've got a couple of Skype callers, Elisa and another one with D-I-T-H. I never can say this one, and they've been on before, and I'll just say did sabaga. I can't speak those ways. So we're going to bring 602 on. 602, you're on SoulStream. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello, my name is Evelyn. I'm in Arizona.
All right, Evelyn.
Hi.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hello.
And I'd like to start with a question.
Yeah, my question is going to be, is I've been seeing and hearing my dad's name about three or four times. I was wondering if there was any messages coming from him.
Okay, so he's passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did he have dark hair, you'd say salt and pepper hair, and kind of a ruddy complexion?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, I got him. He hit. He's saying something about the way you're driving. He's talking about slowing down. I can see the I-10, okay,
mm-hmm.
And where it does those curvy thingies, you need to look out.
Okay. I don't even go on the I-10, but...
Okay, there's something coming up for you, though.
To get my tires balanced because they kind of bounce a little.
Okay. Was he kind of like meticulous about his car, you know, make sure you get your oil change on time, and he always had his car in top shape?
I believe so. I think he was always pretty good about that, you know.
Okay. So he's kind of like here to like nag you? You know, don't put it off?
I don't know. I suppose it's been a while.
Yeah, well, he's kind of nagging you about taking the, not the offensive, what's the word? Be proactive with your car.
Proactive.
Yeah.
proactive.
Well, I did make sure I went and got my oil change and stuff, but I have been kind of like not being. I know my tires need to be balanced for sure, and maybe that's the message because I have not done that.
Yeah, rotate them.
Right.
Rotate them, get them checked, especially this time now between the summer and the winter. You want to do that now, okay?
Okay.
I sound very familiar with Arizona because I lived there for 10 years, okay? This is where my whole awakening and all that stuff happened. Because I see you on the highway with, you know, the sand and the cactus and the brush going by.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, yeah, go get the tires done.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'll just jump in briefly. I'm just get a full diagnostic. I mean, really have the car looked over. It's not just tires. Look at brakes. Look at just a good stem to stern. Look at it. You know, a lot of places do that free. Probably a good idea.
Okay.
And are you getting something built in the back of your house? Are you? Is there some kind of project going on there? Home improvement?
No, but do you see me moving or doing something fabulous like that? Because I'm not really happy where I'm at right now. That was kind of would have been a question that I was wondering if I would be moving.
He was. That often happens to me too. He's bringing up, and he's working with like 2x4s, like he's building a shed on the side of the house or something. He's very much involved with you and those kind of things. Okay. So if you're looking to move, go ahead and talk to your dad and ask him to help point you in the right direction. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's more than happy to do that. He's very happy to do that.
Okay. Any other messages from anybody else that has passed on?
Okay, hang on, let's see.
So there's a number of them up there. Also, my husband, if he's. It's just that I was seeing my dad's name quite a bit today, so I thought maybe he was trying to give me a message. And
yeah,
then,
he was
no.
Trying to get you to take your car into the shop. Okay. I have a younger man. He looks like he's in his 30s. Did your husband have dark hair and short?
Sandy brown hair, not necessarily dark.
Okay, but it looks like a professional cut. You know, he didn't keep it long or anything. He's
no.
It looks okay. And he's wearing like a button-down shirt. Did he work like business casual? Is that the kind of clothes he usually wore?
Yeah, more casual too. Yes, not business.
Okay.
Really?
Okay, just want to make sure I got the right guy. And it looks like his Adam's apple is very pronounced. the feeling I'm getting is like, you know, what's up? Do you talk to him? He feels like you don't talk to him enough.
Oh, I talk to him a lot.
Okay.
Not that necessarily do I hear answers.
Do you ask questions, though?
No, I don't think I necessarily ask questions. I think I just talk.
Okay. What the feeling I'm getting here is that there isn't anything for him to say. So that goes back to the idea that you're not asking him any questions, so he really doesn't have anything to say. Also that you talk not... Okay, well, I'm just going to say this, all right? He's telling me that he hardly gets a word in edgewise. Okay?
Well,
you're doing
that might
talking.
Be up in heaven, but down here he always got to talk.
Okay, I don't know. That's what he's telling me right now. I mean, that's the feeling I'm getting. So, okay, he's telling me that. Are you getting any meditation in or any quiet time in? He's telling me you need to get 15 minutes of quiet time in where you're just listening to the breeze, to the wind, or just meditating.
Okay.
Okay, and he'll be able to talk to you more there. Is your mother passed?
No.
Okay, this may be a grandmother. She has her hair done up like when they used to go to the beauty shop when they got older and they'd make the big poofy pinkish hair.
I know my, one of my grandmas used to get her hair done, but not, I don't think it's poofy though.
Well, I see the big rollers, like from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the big rollers, and it feels like on your mother's side. So is your mother's mother passed?
Yes.
Okay, so I think this is her, and she's something that sounds like a G. I want to say Gertrude. This could also be your grandmother's sister.
One thing about grandparents, you know them as grandma and grandpas. You don't necessarily remember their names. I think it was like Albertine or Augustine.
Okay. Geraldine.
Yeah, that could be a good grandma.
Okay, well, I'm trying to figure out what she's trying to say. She's fussing about something. I get the feeling that in life she just fussed around the kitchen mumbling to herself all the time. So you'll have to ask about that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always fussing about her husband, and I still see her doing that. So if you have any activity around your kitchen, if you have something where things were moved or drawers were shut that you had opened, things like that, that's her. She's fussing around in your kitchen.
My grandma on my dad's side was Germaine. Her name was Germaine, and she always used to wear her hair in a bun.
Okay, well, let's go with that because that's much closer.
Yeah, and she used to, I mean, she was like, she always wore her hair in a bun, but she was always in the kitchen. She had so many kids, all she did was cook.
Did she mumble? Well, I guess with that many kids, she probably mumbled to herself a lot, too.
Yeah, she only had 18, so I'm sure she mumbled a lot. I didn't hear it, though.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, man. Yeah, she's always fiddling and putting things back where they go, and, you know.
If I had 18 kids, I'd be insane.
And she was just a little lady.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I see her, like, messing with your wooden spoon on your kitchen counter or something. Like, it's not straight or it's not put away or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's still...
Oh, she could be. Yeah, I would expect that more from her, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anybody else messing with your stuff.
Well, she was the only one that used to go to her house, and I would definitely, you know, she was always cooking, and we were always doing dishes. She was cooking, and we were doing dishes. That's all we ever did when we went to that, or we hid, so we didn't have to.
Okay, well, I think that she's, you know, there's something with the wooden spoon there. She's going to move it for you, so you just remind her that, you know, your family's around.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'll definitely get my car with that.
Hey, Evelyn, before you go, just curious on your husband. He's passed, correct?
Yes.
Because he was showing me, I mean, I'm just sitting here. I'm not going to try to jump in and you know, do with our guest medium here, but I can't help it when they just do this to me. So I'm kind of just going to go with what I'm getting. His passing was it sudden? Because, and don't tell me how it happened. Was this an accident with the chest?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm getting. I'm having trouble with the accident. I feel like impact, but I don't know what, and I'm not sure that it's a car accident. So I'm just going to go with what I'm getting on that. So can you tell me what happened with him? Because I'm having really...
He was working on our Jeep, and it rolled over him.
Okay, that, yeah, because I felt, so he wasn't in the car was,
mm-mm.
All right, now I get it, because I was seeing a car, and I'm going, but he wasn't in the car, so what makes sense here? So he's just doing that to validate to you that it was him that came through there for you, okay? So he's
yeah.
around you. He's quite aware of what, you know, what's going on with you. And you know, and it's just like Colleen said, talking and taking the time to listen, you know, and doing the meditation work will really help you. But he wanted to validate that for you, and I was just sitting here writing it down, and I went, I got to tell it, because he's like riding my ass to say this. So I did
it. You know
what?
Being that you're getting some messages from him, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, so I dream a lot about him. Like, I have mm-hmm. a lot of dreams of my husband in it. But they always upset me because he never wants to be with me. They're always like he's with either another woman or something stupid, or it's like he lives somewhere else. But I can understand the living somewhere else because he's not here. But I said to myself, if you can't, I finally said, if you can't come to me in my dreams and make me happy, so you're making me upset, then don't come in my dreams.
That's not quite the intent. He's got a life on the other side. You know, when they fully cross over, and that's what he did. He's not earthbound. He's not trapped in space and not operating with his full intellect. He's a fully realized spirit. He crossed right over. He's got a life over there. Now he's not with another woman. He was with you, you know. And he's not. If the dreams are happening the way they're happening, try not to judge what's happening in the dreams by what you're seeing right off. Take time to think it through, and write them down. That's important. Write down the dreams that you're getting. I'm going through a major phase with this right now with dreams that I'm doing, and I'm making sure to write them down and get them in a database so that I can go back and kind of savor them later and see what I'm getting. And so what I think he's doing with you is getting you used to the idea that there are other people that he's around over there, and there may be a woman over there that he's got that's part of his soul group. Is he cheating on you? No, he's not. It's not like that. They're worried more about your best interest. He was married to you in life. He's still married to you in spirit. He's just wanting to talk with you, and he's not, you know, he's not being bound by his human form. So, you know, keep trying to talk with him. That's important, you know. But he wanted, I mean, he took the time to get my attention, and I wasn't even prepared for reading tonight. And I'm going, this guy's really persistent. You know, he jumped on my case.
Well, he was like that in life, too. He was very persistent, and which was a good thing, so that doesn't shock me when he becomes persistent like that. But it was just like, I was just kind of getting discouraged because it was like, I mean, some of my dreams are really wonderful, but then there's some where he just, like, you're upsetting me. Don't come in my dreams if you're going to upset me. And what's amazing is that when he's in my dreams with me, the kids are always at the age when we were kind of sort of at our happiest, but they're never really when the kids were at the age that when he passed.
You know, that may be some things that you're working through too with you know, some of the residue from the, you know, everything that happened. You know, I mean, how fresh is this passing? Is this in the last five to 10 years?
It was just 6 years recently.
Okay. So yeah. What I would say is this, did you do grief? I mean, you went through your personal grief period that we all go through when we lose someone, but did you do any grief counseling?
No.
You know,
no, because ever since he passed, I've had to work two jobs. I have no time.
Well, what I would say is this. Try to find a way to make time. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how you're going to do it, but even if you just talk to him and get it through working with him, on the other side, even if you can't do it, quote, in physical life, don't turn off the dreams. He's trying to help you. That part much
okay.
I'm getting through. He's not
okay.
He's not sitting there bringing up this stuff to try to be mean to you. He's not an evil person or evil spirit.
Oh, no, no, no. No, I don't believe
yeah.
that.
Yeah, he's absolutely got your best interests at heart. Some of these things are going to be difficult to examine. It's like I'm going through the whole grief process with my father to this day. I mean, I lost him in February, and I had to, you know, I had a hell of a time getting back into doing this work. I mean, it was really weird because when I lost him, it's like I started to understand what it's like for all the people who come to the show. I really hadn't lost anybody. So when it happened, it's like, oh my God, this really sucks, you know. And that's I know what you're feeling there, you know. I mean, I can
well,
wear
I know
your shoes.
I'm grieving, but I just don't know how my kids do it. Because a spouse is one thing. A father, like you did, like you said, I don't know. Sometimes I think they're okay, but I hope they're okay. But I feel I hurt more for them than myself.
You know, talking about it, talking with them, bringing him back into the family life when you have celebrations, talk about funny stories, set a chair aside for him at the dinner table. We're going to be doing that here at Thanksgiving. I mean, my mother is sick right now, and I'm taking care of her through the surgeries. And I went out of my way today to set the house up for Halloween. I took charge of that, and I'm bringing back celebration to the house. And then my mother, here in Thanksgiving, we're going to have a little a private celebration. We're going out to see friends the day of, but we'll be right back. And we're going to have this chair with him, and we're going to toast him. And he'll be there, and I know it. So, do that, and that'll help them. And then see about getting some books on the subject of grief, or look at websites with it, and maybe converse with some people online, because it'll help. But talk about it. Don't hold it in. That's the key. So he's a stubborn cuss, let me tell you.
Yeah, he is.
Yep. Well, hon, I'm glad I was able to step in and just pop that in there. So we'll let you go, though. But thank you for dialing in.
Oh, thank you very much, both of you. That was great. Thank you very much. Good night.
Okay, God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Colia, sorry I jumped in there. It was just like that spirit was like just insistent. I mean, he was just riding
no,
my
no
tail.
Problem.
Oh, my God. I mean.
We totally, we always get things to compliment each other. I work with Wednesdays and Saturdays. There's usually three or four of us at once. And it's actually much easier when we each can bounce off each other.
Yeah, I used to do a thing called tag team mediumship, and I still do that occasionally, where I'll bring in other mediums and we'll have like a whole bunch of us in, and these spirits are just coming and going, and it's like rock and sock and mediumship, and you never know what's going to happen, and it's the most fun. I mean, it's good to hear that other people do that.
No,
it's like,
totally agree
with
what Eric said there, so.
What in the... What is that?
Not me.
Okay.
Not me.
I have no clue.
John, when you were talking, I mean, there was a lot of rustling going on in my room, and my cats are both behind me. So something was going on.
Yeah, I was getting that. What was funny was when I got moved to I'm sitting here looking at my show notes, and I do that to keep, kind of a sort on what's going on throughout the show. I'm sitting here with the 602 and Evelyn there, and all of a sudden I started scratching down chest, male, accident, and then just this kind of strange symbol, which I didn't really get to ask her about, but it was like a rectangle with a whole bunch of lines coming out the sides of the rectangle, and I couldn't figure that out. But I was just scrawling it out, and I'm going, and then I feel this presence to my right, and my arm goes cold, and that's when I know I've got a spirit, and he's like right in my face, you're going to talk about me. So,
what?
Yeah, dude, I'm going to do it, but I didn't want to wreck your deal, so I was like, I probably had to get in. So, anyway,
that's
so
funny, because the only thing I don't like about your show being on so late is I live alone, and it creeps me out sometimes.
you bought me, Heather. We got radio going on here.
Not me.
Not me.
Let me check and see if it's this one. Are we still? Is everybody still here?
Yeah.
We think we are.
Okay. I had a 248 that was still on. And I think that's what was going on. I had the 248 line open, so I fixed it. So I know what was going on. It wasn't a spirit; it was a live human being out there listening in and playing music. So they're listening to my show, and they're listening to my show, and they're listening to that music. How dare you? You animal, you shouldn't be doing that. Listen into spirit. This is good for you. You'll know. All right. So I got, let's see, 913. We got a full board to go here. So I'm going to bring on 913, and it's the 205 prefix. So 913-205, you're on SoulStream. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, how are you doing?
Pretty good. What's your name?
My name is Javier.
Okay. Where are you at there?
I'm in Kansas, but I'm from Argentina.
Okay. Well, you want to speak to Colleen?
Sure.
All right. Here you go.
Okay. All right, Javier. What's your question here?
Do you see any guidance around me?
Sure. Let's start with your protection guide. The angel behind you is Michael. And on either side of you, it's
how he look like?
Think of like the biggest, broadest shouldered man you've ever seen, with wings that go out about 20 feet. Okay?
Wings?
Wings,
okay.
Wings, yeah. With dark hair, very dark brown, with short and cut in like a bowl cut is the way he's showing me, okay? But it's above his ears. Yeah, and he carries a big sword that, to me, it always lets off this huge golden light. Okay? He only brings it out when he's actively protecting from something. Okay?
Okay.
He doesn't say much. He doesn't say much to me. He's one of those that just shows up when you need him and brandishes his sword. And anything that was negative or of dark energy immediately goes away. All right, okay, immediately backs off. All right.
Okay.
Okay, now I got a male and a female for you. Male on the left, a female on the right. On the right-hand side, I'm getting... this is somebody that's been coming up a lot lately. Her name is Galadriel. I know John put that picture of from Lord of the Rings on the opening there. That's how she appears to me, exactly like Galadriel from the Lord of the
Rings. Yeah, Galadriel. That's right, Galadriel.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I didn't see the movie. And oh, well.
She emanates white light from within, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's very blonde, very light, wears white, everything is very white, but the light comes from within her, okay? There's definitely something important you need to do. This is, she's on your creative side, she's on your feminine side. Now, I'm trying to get an idea of what this is. Does your job involve communication? Do you do public speaking or do a lot of writing on the web or something?
Oh, no. I suck at that.
Okay. There's something very much that you're going to... Speaking to the world. I mean, I'm really getting this. Speaking to the world. Something goes viral. I mean, you're doing something on the web. So this may be coming up for you, okay?
Okay.
And it's going to be as much a surprise to you as anybody else, all right? So just be prepared for surprises. It's always fun. Now, the gentleman on the left, I'm getting a blonde-haired gentleman. He has a very round face, double chin. He looks like he's from the Greek period with the olive leaves, or is that what they wore around their head?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say olive leaves. And he's wearing a toga. Yeah, olive branch. He holds an olive.
He's wearing
branch.
A toga.
Well, that's what it looks like. It's the robe, but it only has one shoulder on it.
Oh God,
and
I like
it's
it.
Tied around the waist. Okay.
I had to jump in. Toga.
Right.
Toga.
toga. Yeah. And it's tied around the waist with gold. It looks like a rope, but it's made out of something gold, gold material.
Okay.
And he's holding an olive branch, which usually means peace. Yeah, I'm getting this working on world peace thing with you. I really do. And the three of them together, this guy's name is Henri, or
mm-hmm.
Henry in the American version. I don't know what that is in, what do you speak in Argentina?
We speak Argentinian, which is Spanish.
What is Henry in Argentinian?
Henry? Enrique.
Enrique. Oh, right. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, so this is going to be Enrique on your left.
Okay.
Definitely, you know, there's something you're doing that you're working towards world peace. And it's coming in the next 2-3 years.
2 to 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, you're starting it now. I
uh-huh.
don't know how. I don't have any idea what it is or how it's going to happen. So,
don't worry, me either. I don't see either.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know. Don't be surprised when it comes up. So, it's like something goes viral.
Oh, I'm working. I'm playing game right now. That's the only viral thing I think you're talking about.
You're working on games? Is that what you said?
Yeah, no, I'm playing a game right now. If that's connected to the internet, that's what you're thinking about.
Oh, okay. No, no, this is something more than that. More than that.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so that's what I've got for you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Javier.
Mm-hmm. See you later. Bye.
So I cut him off a little early. And thank you, Javier, for dialing in.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Something's going to come up. And
yeah, with the web thing. And I didn't catch, the toga thing just struck me. I started to laugh. I kept seeing Animal House. I'm going, wow.
Before or after I said toga?
After you said it, I could just see, you know, John Belushi going, toga, toga, toga.
Yeah, and he looked a little bit like that too, the round face and a little double chin and round body.
I saw parties with this guy, you know, and I'm just going, wow, this guy's got like a great life, you know, and this is what, I mean, the guy, you know, the sitter you were reading for, I'm just going, he seemed like really matter of fact about it. He totally accepted the whole thing, and I'm sitting there going, you know, he's a real party animal. So I don't know. let's see, 10:53.
All I could say is I just kept looking at this, and the only word I kept getting was like, wow. So.
Yeah. He's there's a lot more to him than he let on. He's very humble.
Yes.
Yeah, but he can really hardy hardy. I can tell you that just listening to the guy. Let's see. We've got we're 10:53 West Coast, so we got about 40 minutes. We got enough time to do four more readings. So I'm going to bring on. I just did 9-2. I did Javier, so that was 9-3. So 9-2-5. 9-2-5 is coming up. And we're bringing 9-2-5 on. Hello, you're on SoulStream. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello, I'm Vicky.
Hello.
And I'm from Brentwood.
Okay. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
And
honey. And you had made a little blog about doing stories, and I'm the one with the twin from Ed Ezra with Brenda Orr.
Oh, are you talking to me or
you talk to John, yeah.
It's about your book.
Oh, yes, yes.
So it'll get a hold of you as soon as he gets it all lined up. But I'm that person.
Oh, okay.
And because I didn't want to throw you off when I just, you know, because I basically just want to know if you, either one of you, see any, you know, like family member or spirit guides or anything that's around me.
Do you have a brother that's passed?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a brother that's passed?
Yeah, two.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna state this. I was a twin.
Okay. And the twin was born or not?
Yes, he was born.
Okay.
He was 6 months.
Okay. And so I'm pretty sure this is who I have here. I want to say Scott. Who's Scott?
I don't know.
Okay. Because I'm also getting an uncle here, too. Okay, the brother, was he a teenager when he passed? I'm getting
no, he was six months old.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, he's appearing here like a teenager, like 17, like a lanky, tall, thin teenager. Okay. He's not saying much to me.
Does he tell you his name?
No, that's where I got the Scott from. No, I'm not getting his name. I mean, I could sit here and guess, but the other letter that comes up is an L. Okay.
Okay, L for a brother?
Yeah.
Okay, that's my second little brother that passed.
Okay, so this is the second one. Now, how old was he when he passed?
I believe he was only like a couple months old.
Oh, okay. Okay, so both of them really young. Okay. Yeah, because this is definitely like a 17-year-old is what it's appearing to me, with the pimples and short hair and kind of gangly, you know, that in-between time when all your limbs start growing really big.
Mm-hmm.
And he's over 6 foot, but thin, like he just went through a huge growth spurt. But he's facing you. He's not facing me. He doesn't want to talk to me, okay? So, but I'm also getting the idea that he's been doing things around the house. So have you been feeling your brothers around for some time now? Or is there something like, oh, I don't know what that is, you know, that can't possibly be my brothers. I kind of think, you know, might be something, but probably not.
I can tell you, right now I'm at Ed's mother's house, and there are spirits here. I see them, and there's
okay.
A dog here and all that.
Okay. Well, they're very active right now, is what I'm getting. Are you staying in your old room or in their old room?
Whose old room?
I'm still getting this teenager. So if they were 6 months old, they wouldn't have had this bedroom. Which bedroom are you staying in at your mom's house?
No, I'm at my boyfriend's house.
Oh.
His mother's house. It's a 150-year-old home. Yeah.
Okay.
This house is
all right. Well, there's a teenage boy that's hanging around there, and he's making a lot of noise on the walls and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now let me see what it. Now I had this one that come in and said uncle. So let me see what. How about your father's brother? Did she pass?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I'm getting on your father's side, the brother, you know, and he doesn't want to say too much either. They're all like, well, you can talk to him. it's like, well, you know, they're all facing you. They're facing you from the front. So to me, they want to talk to you. That's my symbol for, you know, why don't you talk to me yourself?
Okay.
If you don't, if you haven't talked to them, they're definitely trying to get your attention, because the uncle is sticking his face right in your face. So if you haven't had light bulbs blowing, that the next one is going to be him, because that's usually the way it goes. They start trying to get your attention that way.
I get a lot. They like to touch my hair.
He's not claiming the hair, but he does say he touched your arm on the back of your bicep, on the tricep area,
mm-hmm.
on the right.
Oh, okay.
So he's saying that was him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I've got. I've got those two that are trying to get your attention.
Okay.
Did I ask you? Oh, I asked you who Scott was, right? See, that name's coming up again. You might want to look at, you know, who else was in that house named Scott.
Okay. And that's the gangly teenager? 'Cause
I'm getting, you know, the boys' room with the double bed, with the checkered, covered blanket on it, and the slanted walls that, you know, had a poster or something tacked to it. It's very much a boys' bedroom from, like, the 50s or 60s.
Hmm.
And he just keeps showing me his bedroom, like somebody's in his bedroom.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, they're not telling me anything else here, Vicki.
Thank you. I will try to look into that then.
Yeah, you got homework now.
just curious. On your second, the younger brother that died, you were keying in on an L name. What was his name?
Leslie.
I was writing Larry, and I kept getting a L-Y, and I was thinking Larry. And I wrote that down, and I'm going, God, I'm thinking Lyle, and I go, no, it's not Lyle, it's like Larry, it sounds like Larry, Leslie, okay, good. I'm just checking my accuracy, you know, and it's good to know that that's good. By the way, there's a name that is coming in from the location you're in right now, and I don't know. I'll just go with what I'm getting. I keep getting the name Jesse or Jessica. Do you have a Jesse or Jessica in your area that you're around? Because I'm getting this name really strong with you.
Jesse is my stepson, but he's alive.
Oh. Yeah, but they'll repeat. What they'll do is they'll repeat the name of people who are alive. So I'm sitting there going, I don't know where to place this person, but I was going, Jesse or Jessica, I'll just go with it. And so it's a shout out then from the other side that they're giving that name to say hello. So
okay.
That's what that is.
My heart but skipped a beat there. I was like, oh, please don't tell me that.
Yeah,
no, you
know
what? Now that you say that, I really think the uncle's there for Jesse. Because he's attaching himself to Jesse.
Yeah, it was just like it just kept coming through and really insistent to bring up the name. So, you know, I mean, I just go get what I get, you know. So and sometimes they won't tell me any more than just that one symbol, and then it's a guessing game from there, you know. So
okay.
and we're at a disadvantage. We poor mediums, we're just messengers. We You know, and we're surfing by the seat of our, you know what, you know.
Well, I admire you, both of you. I am trying very hard to work my way up to your point. I mean, I have the spirits that mainly they'll come and try to talk to me at night, and it's like all of them all at one time. And it's like, I can't help you that way. And it's, I'll have them touch me, and once in a while they'll appear where I can see them like I see you. But
yeah.
Usually it's like the shadows and stuff like that.
Be careful.
Just one thing. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, when you're an aware person, you're like a beacon of light to them, and
mm-hmm.
you'll get spirits who are of, you know, that, and there's a lot of disagreement in it. You know, everybody has different perspectives in this, but this is just sort of mine. And my experience of it was, I actually was harassed at night when my gifts started to really, really wake up in the last 6 years. And one night I woke up and I'm being drug out of bed by a spirit. And I'm not kidding you. It was freaky. I mean, I felt hands on my feet and I'm being yanked out of bed. And I got up and went, yes, son of a bitch. And I'm going, and I'm getting the sage out. And I'm like, you know, I smoked that house good. And then I lay down the law. I told them, you're not allowed in my house at night. I'm a human being. I have to sleep. And I set parameters for them to be able to come in. They're allowed in my studio, but in my night, you know, in my regular life, you know, I have very strict rules with them. And they can come in the house if they mind their manners, but they, when we're asleep, they stay out. You don't get to do that. And so you there's a lot of evolution that comes with each person's spiritual journey with regard to these things. But I just strongly advise you, be aware of who it is that's coming to talk to you at night, and then listen to your own intuition about that, and you'll find the right answers. But for me, I was very uncomfortable with them just walking in at any time of the nighttime and waking me up. It still happens on occasion. Sometimes I'll have a spirit that'll pop in and I'll hear talking, but they stay a respectful distance. They don't walk up and grab my feet. You know, it's not cool. You know, when they're touching you and stuff, it's like, hey, that's a big deal.
Well, usually when the touching goes on, that's when I'm awake. But they do come at night and they'll try talking to me, but it's usually it's like one-on-one, but there's been times where it's like, everybody gangs up on me at one time, and I have to tell them to stop.
Yeah, you can say one at a time. You know, you can put it back on them. You tell them, hey, you know, I'm just developing my gifts. I'm needing for you to do this one at a time and slow it down, by the way. And you can put it on them. I mean, you have every right to close down at your end and say, no, I'm going to do it this way, and you have to work with me. And then appeal to your guides, too, for help, because they will make it a big thing to get you the education you need in this and the people around you that can help you, and then bring these experiences to you in a way that you can digest. But if it's just all of them at you at once, it's like being in a room with 25 spirits in your face. What are you going to do? You know, it's just like being in a room with 25 people in your face. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, it's hard to understand them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you can take charge of the process. That's what I'm bringing to you, is just take charge of the process, look them in the eye, you know, or whatever they're showing, and just say, one at a time, folks. And by the way, I'm open at these times, and here's when I'll be able to speak with you. And if they're interfering with your sleep, if you're okay with it and you can work with that, great. But if you can't, like me, because I need sleep at night and I got to go to work in the morning, hey, you know, there's a time and a place.
I get woken up quite a bit.
Yeah, so put it on them. It's like, hey, I'm still in life here, you know. I've got to be able to get up in the morning and go do my thing. Can we work this out, like, for Saturday night at 9? Yeah, I mean, Yeah, it's just there's courtesies involved on both sides. You know, to be prepared to work in spirit, you know, there's preparations are made. I mean, even before I did the show, even though I knew I wasn't going to do full mediumship tonight, I did my preparation work. I raised my vibrational state. I did medium, I did what a medium should do, which is to raise your vibrations by meditation and, clearing your space and getting your mind ready for the process. You know, when you're in a raw state where you're not ready and if you're not trained, it's really, it can be rough. I mean, you're like, what the hell? So, I mean, if you're at the beginning stages, definitely get that education. Find a spiritual teacher, somebody who can teach you. Do all the things that you can to get to be around others who do this work, and they'll guide you and help you through it, because it's a very real thing what you're experiencing. You're doing the typical ride that a lot of us go through, and you're on your way to mediumship. I mean, you've already been picked, so get used to it, because the ride's ain't gonna end.
Exactly.
Good, I like that. I mean, I've had a couple of friends ask me to look, if I see something, and like one friend asked me, okay, where's my twin sister? So I closed my eyes, and what I seen was, I described it was her backyard. And she's like, oh my God. I said, well, all I can tell you is what I see. And
that's
then
mediumship.
That's
psychic mediumship at work.
That's a lot of how I started, too, is I would describe their kitchen, or I'd describe their backyard or where they were standing. So just keep practicing it.
I have one other question, and I know it's probably going to sound kind of weird.
On this show? You're funny.
Well, when I would try to do meditation, a couple times I would see this little, like a kid, but his hair would be all pokey up, and it would have a dark hair, a round face, and then it would have dark eyes, but then it would have a ring around the eyes, and then it had, no neck, but shoulders, and then you could barely see the hands. And I've seen this thing twice, and it's like my spirit guides were telling me, open your eyes. So I'd open my eyes, and it would be gone. And it was, really freaking me out. So one day I just said, may the power of God's angels light. And I said, be gone. And it's like light came out of my hands.
Wow.
Okay, it's like, no, you're not supposed to say, wow, you're supposed to tell me what that meant.
Basically, that's part of the lessons your guys are showing you. You're dealing with you saw somebody in spirit. They may have been showing you that person at the state of their death, and you were being given an opportunity to be able to heal them. The light out of the hands is often the sign of a healer, and so you were being given a chance to do some of the work. And this is a real common type of stuff. I mean. I was seeing black shapes out of the corners of my eyes. I'd have strange dreams. I was waking up and hearing talking in my ear. I kept hearing when I was really opening up. I don't know if either you will recognize this. I kept feeling the face. I kept feeling wings fluttering on my face at night. I'd wake up and there would be the sounds of like wings, and I know it was angels. And I was made ready for the fact that I would be working around angelic energies. So, it's just part of your learning curve.
I actually see them. It's like they'll show me. They haven't done it in a while, but it's like a lady, and her wings, and it's like she's multicolored. She's really beautiful, blonde hair. Every once in a while, they'll show theirself to me.
Yeah, well, say hi to your guide.
Oh! She's beautiful.
Yeah, that's your guide. Oh. Absolutely. Yeah, she's doing that. Yeah, I don't have a name, but what I do know is this. She's your guide, and you can ask her.
All right.
Yeah. If I had to pick a name, it would be something like Delilah, but, it's a D-A type of name. So that's what I'm kind of getting, and it sounds like a strange name. It's not something I would normally get. But a D-A name for sure, Dahlia, Delilah, something like that. So, but she's absolutely very interested in working with you. So get to know her. She may not even be your master guide, but she's definitely one of them. And, and is interested in getting your development down. That's for sure.
Because I know in the last year or so, it's stronger than it's ever been. I mean, this has kind of started since being 5 years old. But in the last couple of years, it's really like I'm seeing more and more.
Yeah, that's pretty typical development work. I mean, I started at five myself. I was seeing stuff when I was, I grew up in the rocket industry, my dad was a scientist and my mother's side were all mediums. And so I started seeing this stuff and then, a very confused existence, but I mean, it's absolutely totally normal what you're going through. And when you hit that one stage where it just starts ramping up, just get ready for the ride and read everything you can and talk to all the people you can, because you're going to need the help. I mean, I reached out and and tell the stories. Don't feel weird about talking about this stuff. You're in with the right crest of crazy. So we've all been through it.
You're the main person I talk to.
And we're all completely nuts. You know that. It's fine.
Aww.
You fit right into the crowd here in the asylum.
Yeah,
we'll make a special spot for you.
That's what I tell people, too. Come on over to our side. It's way more fun.
Oh,
yeah, we're more interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Sometimes it's a little scary. I mean, especially when you get a face, like you're driving the car and a face will pop up on your left side. That gets a little scary.
Yeah, that's the time when you say, hey, boundary exceeded. I'm driving. I don't need to journey to the other side just yet. I'm not in a real hurry to make that transition. I've got work to do. They need to kind of, sometimes they get a little exuberant and you have to kind of pull them in and you can rein them in. If you read, I'll give you a good book to read about some of this is by John Holland. And, yeah, and I'm trying to remember the name of the title. It's one of his first books. You just look up John Holland on Amazon, and John Holland, and he's an excellent medium, American born. I think he's from Boston, and he started having all these kinds of crazy experiences. But he talks about the training that he went through, and the a lot of the closing down where he kind of sets the parameters, and I really liked that. The book is called Born Knowing. That's it. And it was just he really has an excellent command of the whole subject of mediumship, and so you get a real kind of taste of all the things that happen. Because he talked about the visions of the spirits that would come through in his childhood, and all the they would nod at him and talk to him, and he had all these same things that that a lot of us have. I mean, mediumship is not all that rare. It's there are a lot of people with it. It's the ones that choose to develop it,
mm-hmm.
And the spirit world just keeps nudging us until we get it, Otherwise, some people spend their whole lives maybe trying to run from it, but others, like you, you're trying to confront it, you're trying to deal with it, and it's a life of service, that's for sure. I mean, Colleen knows the deal. Once you're doing it, it's like that's it.
Yeah.
It's like you're never alone.
No, yep. And I learned. I was told early on to make sure that you let them know not to bother you when you're driving.
Oh,
I
don't know if
driving,
I can.
Sleeping, they're not allowed to be bothering me.
Well, when I was driving and it was there, I just kind of like looked. You know how you see me, you look and it's like go away. I didn't say it out loud because I wasn't by myself, but I just kind of thought it's like, go away. And it's like, okay, he disappeared.
Can you see the CHP? You get pulled over, and the officer says, what were you doing? I was talking to a spirit. He just popped in on my driver's side.
He says, okay, do we need a 5150?
Let's get them in the suits. We got a nice place for you. Yeah. But but honestly, they can and do appear at places. There's been a lot of events and people who are sensitive in cars will have experiences. I actually had one of my first mediumship experiences as a kid. I was driving my dad home. And we were in our little Toyota pickup from Paradise, California, back home to Roseville, And we're on a, we just come out of Oroville, and I was on a straightaway. I look up, and I'm running right into a Chinese man. And he's standing there looking right at me, and I drive through him. And he's on, you know, and I hear a tearing sound, like it's like paper ripping, as my left mirror, because I damn near turned the truck over trying not to hit this guy. And I run through him. And then I look in the back, and there's nobody there. And I swore I just killed a man, you know. I mean, my heart's out of my chest. I'm not aware that I've got all of this stuff going on, but I'm seeing this guy. I mean, I could tell you everything he was wearing, what he looked like, you know, the look in his face. He locked eyes with me, looked right into me. And then I find out that this is a regular occurrence on that stretch of freeway, you know. But this guy's like, that's his big stick in life. He's like, that freaks the crap out of people, you know. So, I mean, yeah.
When you see a spirit like you see, like if I was looking at you, do you always remember each one that you, I mean, you're not, I'm not knowing at the time that they're deceased usually. But
they
can
look as real
them.
As you and me. I had one where my mother's guide appeared to me. I looked out the window. My mother was absolutely at her wit's end with Dad before he passed. And this was in 2011. And I happened to look out the window, and a beautiful blonde woman is following my mother around talking to her. And my mother's watering. So I thought, wow, we had a visitor. And I thought, and she was kind of hot looking, really. And so I just got out of the shower, so I'm getting all dressed up. Ooh, I'm going to meet a hot, hot foxy blonde. And I go outside, and I look, and my mother's alone. And I go, where'd the blonde go? And she goes, what blonde? And I go, you're kidding me. There was a blonde woman, a really hot, she had a nice rear end, and I was checking her out. And then I go get dressed to come check out, and she's not there. And so I didn't know she was deceased. I didn't know she's spirit. But then it suddenly occurred to me, and then Mom went, you know, I felt like somebody's around. And she didn't, now I realize it was her guide. It was one of her guides was there helping her through, my dad's transition. So it was just like, whoa. You sometimes you just don't know. You don't know because they do look alive, you know. Colleen, what about you? I mean, what's your experience with this?
I was going to say, I've not seen people that look alive like that. I see them in my mind's eye, and if I want to, like, I'll have to, they don't get to appear unless I say show me, and then I will get like an overlay more so than feeling like they look like regular people, and I think that is with my boundaries. I don't want full apparitions. I don't want to see that stuff, you know. I'm not there yet.
I've had the good and the bad and the transparent. I've seen a pretty fair bunch of them. I'd say I've seen up to 10 apparitions, and you know, several who were as real as you and me looking, mm-hmm. And then one that was absolutely grotesque that appeared right next to my father, and absolutely freaked the crap out of me in the middle of the day. This spirit just bops through the wall, looks at me, smiles, and backs off. And I'm completely coming out of my chair going, what the hell? You know,
right.
Other times it's just, you know, you catch them at the side. You see, you'll see an image of a shape like I did today. You know, random, you know, for those, I mean, I've got hundreds of sightings of those. I see that a lot.
I get a lot of the ones on the side of me.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, I had all kinds of stuff coming to visit me at night, and I think that's why I'm still apprehensive about it, because those were not nice, the ones that I see there.
Yeah, it's real common to get the side vision ones, because it's funny that the human eye is constructed with black and white cones on the sides. That's your side vision. That's black and white. When you look in the center, that's color vision. And for some reason, you can see with the black and white a little further into different wavelengths of light. And so they are able to slow down enough that they can appear in our black and white cones. That's why when we look right at them, they disappear. That's
actually
a physical thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's like,
when I look through my third eye and I'm looking in, you know, that vision, the overlay is always in tones of gray.
Yeah.
Until I, you know, start to hone in on details.
Yeah, and everybody's different. I mean, it's like Helen in the chat room. She's saying her husband sees them all the time. Some people can just see them. I mean, they can look right at them and they're making sense of them, and they have that wonderful gift. And I don't have it all the time, but, you know, I've seen enough of it. It's like, you know, I've had those direct sightings, and it's totally like, wow, what a gift, you know, to see that. And then you see the grotesque stuff, and you go, oh, dear God, I don't see that. You know, I don't want that.
You
know,
that part. And they've told me I can if I want to, but, you know, I've made it pretty clear I don't want to right now.
Yeah, it's... you know, you can work with, and that's a beautiful thing in mediumship. You can just say, "Hey, there's my limits. This is what I can work with," and they'll respect that as long as you verbalize it. You know, let them know.
Right.
You know, otherwise,
right.
I'll just keep up doing stuff and freaking the crap out of you in the car,
right.
And in the shower and in the toilet. They'll appear in the kitchen and they'll be sitting there. I mean, they don't care. Hell, I've had them follow me right into the bathroom. I hate that.
Well,
yeah.
I've had them come out of the wall and look at me and then go back in. But usually, like, the ones I can see, though, they're always on the nicer side. They'll realize I'm looking at them. They'll look up and smile.
Yeah, if that's the case, they're wanting to communicate. You've got a perfect opportunity to reach out and just in your mind or just speak out loud to them. Just say, "Hi, who are you? What would you like to talk about?" You know, I mean, it's that simple. And then you could get a dialogue going, and sometimes you'll actually hear them. I'm clairaudient. I actually couldn't hear them sometimes too. I mean, that's my second strongest, you know, ability is I'll pick them up. I can actually hear them talking, and they say some amazing things. A lot of times though, it's like listening to them underwater, and then you're like,
oh,
damn, I hate that part.
I've heard that. I've heard them like water, and then I've heard them talk like we talk.
Yeah, it depends on the spirit. Some of them are better able to match our level, and are able to come through a little better. Others, it's not so good. They sound scratchy. That's why we get EVPs like that. You know, the scratchy EVPs, and they'll sound musical. A lot of them have a musical sounding voice. You know, heaven must be a very musical place because they have such beautiful voices. You know.
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah.
John, you know, recently I went to my first memorial service since all this started working with all this stuff, and I haven't been to a funeral home in, you know, years and years and years, so I wanted to see what it would be like, you know.
Yeah.
And one room in that place just completely creeped me out, and I had somebody follow me home who was not nice. And, you know, was doing a lot of the audible stuff. So the audible stuff that makes me realize, okay, they're not listening to my boundaries. I need to call in some extra help on this one, you know.
Yeah.
She was waking me up at night and stuff.
You can banish them. You can banish them in the name of God. You can also use sea salt next to where you sleep. Black obsidian, and I'm a big fan of black tourmaline for getting rid of negative influences, and I've got black tourmaline all over the house, and boy, does it work.
What is it?
Yeah, it's a form of crystal. If you just say black tourmaline, go to your local rock shop, they'll know what you're talking about, and they'll give you big crystals of it, and it's a wonderful... It seems to have the ability, kind of like smudging does, to kind of keep negative spirits away. I bring it on all our expeditions with GRI when we go out in the field. I've got that with me. It's kind of an emergency rescue kit. So it really works. And by the way, it's 11:28 here on the West Coast. So I'm just going to say, Colleen, if you want to stay on for a bit longer, we can roll into the off the stream and continue on into the archive portion of the show. And we got just a few more. Are you up for doing a little more work with us?
I can do a few more. I just need a bathroom break.
Okay, tell you what. Go ahead. I'll tell you what. We'll just thank you right now then. And just continue on with the folks that are listening in on the phone lines here. For all of you out there who are you know, coming to the end of it with me here, and thank you for dialing in. Is Nancy still with me? I don't see her out there. Oh, hi, Nancy.
I am here. I am right here.
We love you. So I just wanted to...
I love all of you.
So,
well, I want to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And do you want to stay on? Vicki?
Sure.
Okay, we'll just kind of keep everybody on hold. Do you want to do the read? Actually, we've got 45 seconds. I'm just going to speed through it. We've got Castle 407, Debbie Wells, my dear, dear friend, Elmar Energy Therapies. Hi, Dorothy. Florida Christie, Scott Wise. We've got a couple of guests. I've got Helen out there in Merry Old England, Kimberly, and Nancy Mum, Psychic of Light, and Rebecca. So good to see you all here. And we're going to be going off stream in about 20 seconds. So, hey, by the way, I'm going to do a Halloween show on Wednesday. So look for that. And I'll do a show tomorrow. They wanted me to read. So you roped me into it, you guys, you silly savages. You've got me. So I'm going to do a show tomorrow night. I'll figure out a time. So look for us tomorrow. And we're off stream right about now. We love you guys. And here we are. We are on the archive. Hello, everybody.
Okay.
Hello, archives.
All right. So I'll tell you what. Why don't we give Colleen a break, and so we'll play a little music. I need to stretch, too, myself. So let's take a couple of minutes, and then we'll be right back, okay?
I'm going to go grab some coffee.
Roger that. Rog, we're going for coffee. We're going in.
Yeah.
We're going in. Okay,
yes, we are. The coffee pot.
Rog. Going for coffee, man. Charlie, you going for coffee? I'm trying to follow some music here. John, Paul, Ringo. Hey, I got something here for 3 minutes and 21 seconds. We'll have this one from Arizona. Here we go. Oh. All right, we're back. And I stepped outside to take a look at what's going on outside my little studio out here on the ranch. I live on a 7.2-acre ranch out in Shingle Springs, California. I'm on a gold mine. And we actually have spirits roaming the property. And it's so funny because I stepped out and something goes running right by and scared the crap out of me. So I'm just kind of, okay. We've got a fenced property, and I have so I know there's some animal out there, and it's sort of weird. Here I am, I'm floating in the ethers, the spirit world, and then something, you know, I'm thinking there's a giant creature out there going to consume my ass, you know? So hello, guys.
Hello.
So where were we at? Where did we leave off? We're talking about the spirit world and all the wonderful things that happened to us, and that was where we were at. And then we said goodbye to everybody on the regular stream. So this is kind of the after show, you know. We just kind of we've got probably a couple more folks who want to be read, but you know, this is the neat stuff. I mean, when we get into some really interesting talk, you know. So Vicki, I mean, what else you got? I mean, any other questions about, you know, your development process, the things that you're going through and all that?
Is that directed at me?
Oh, it was Vicki. She's still there.
Oh, Vicki. Is Vicki still there?
I had her 925. It shows she's still on. I've got this, 382. Vicki, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, how's it going? Okay. We were just wondering about your. Did all your questions get answered? Everything to do with, you know, or you still got some things you want to talk about?
Well, you answered a lot of my questions. I listen to your show constantly whenever it's on, and I'm learning. I'm using my ghost box and all this other stuff. And I mean, I try to listen to them and stuff, but I don't totally always understand what they're saying or doing.
Yeah, I get that. You know, honestly, I mean, I've been at this quite a long time now, and it's like after the show, especially tonight, when we close this down and I go back up and I climb in bed and I'm kicking back, mm-hmm. I am going to absolutely guarantee you I'm going to hear spirit voices tonight, and they're going to be sitting there, and there'll be 10 or 12 of them, and I'll just sit back and go, okay, you know, slow down. I mean, it's like I sometimes feel like I have to kind of teach them, you know, hey, you gotta back it off a little. So give me, you know, one of you figure out who's going to talk, and then you do the talking. And I'll have a half-hour conversation with them. So I don't generally get to sleep when I want to. I'll have a interaction with them. I mean, it's just that, it's that simple. You just tell them, you know, it's like a bunch of unruly kids, you know, and they just want to pass messages. Sometimes they just want to talk. You know, they may not want to pass a message on the Sunday. They may just want to talk to you. They may find it interesting to see what your thinking is, and they'll share wisdom with you. Other times they'll just be curious about, you know, where you're coming from on some of the stuff you do. So you never know with spirits.
But I know at one time one of them here told me to get out, and I just looked at him and said no. And that was it.
Yeah, I get that a lot, especially when you do paranormal investigation. I think Scott might be still listening in here. You know, get out is probably the single most common EVP I pick up. Get out. Well, no. You know, you have every right to say it. No, I'm not going out. You get out. I mean, I'm the live one here. You know, so absolutely a good response. You've got spunk.
Well, they, per se, really don't scare me, except for that one little thing I told you about when I asked for the Angels of Light, because I was never seen that before, and that kind of scared me.
Well, you've got the right idea. You went for protection. You got it. Not only that, your body actually emanated a light that did something, and it seemed to be a healing energy.
My fingers.
Yeah. You might want to read up on some of the healing people who do healing work. There's a wonderful series by Barbara Brennan. I think it's called Hands of Light, and she has she talks about some of these things that the human body is capable of for doing healing work and sensing disease and different things. So I'm just being kind of led to tell you about that. So I suspect that there's some more development that you're going to go through, and probably in that area. That would be just kind of my guess.
That book. I have that book, John, and I really kind of like it. And just for you, Colleen, is that one of the things I found that was really kind of helpful is that I never thought I could see auras. I didn't know that you could see them in your head, but not with your eyes. And the kind of auras I was seeing were a lot different than a lot of the what other people were talking about. Mine were like little rays of light bursting out around a person, but they weren't just one color. They were like white and pink and blue and green, or have more of one than the other. And I just, nobody ever heard of that. Nobody ever saw that. I never heard anybody talk about that, but it talks about that in that book. So she describes an awful lot of ways you can see energy. So, and she kind of gives these templates with these pictures. And so it's really interesting.
Well, yeah, cool. I mean, I had spontaneous in my very early development in my I was about 28, 29 when I was doing some really my first steps into the work. And one day I looked up at a tree, and suddenly the tree just burst into this cloud of energy, and I'm seeing a roiling mass of energy around this tree. And I'm looking at it going, "What the hell is that?" And it just disappeared. And then I went and talked to somebody that really knew with their stuff, and they said, "Oh yeah, you saw the aura around a tree." And I described it, and they said, "Oh yeah, that's absolutely how it would appear." And so yeah, there's many different ways of seeing these things. All living things have these energy fields around them, mm-hmm. and we can, you know, as you progress in your work, and if you really want to develop that ability, yeah, go for it. You know, and you will pick up on this stuff. But when you saw that the energy come out of your hands, that's a healing modality. That's something that, you know, you actually were doing something to help that spirit. I think I don't think it was a banishment more than a helpful action. And it seemed that, you know, so just kind of search your, you know, meditate on it and see what you pick up with it. And then if it feels right, generally that's the direction to go, you know. But, you know, they showed you that for a reason. You know, they have their own agenda.
And I know one reading that you did with me, with Brenda, and I had asked you about my twin brother, and that's when you all said his spirit was with me, I mean actually in me, that he grew up with me.
Oh, I see. This was the first brother?
Yes, my twin brother.
Yeah, well, they will do that. I mean, and twins have, like, special spiritual energy. I mean, even if it's fraternal, you know, or identical, they will be part of your life. You know, even if one is passed and the other is still here, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be around you. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true. You know, it's funny. I mean, the identical ones who have really tight connections are the most surprising. You know, you'll have these amazing things of when one's passed and the other, and they'll actually kind of come in and out of each other. It's a really, there's been these strange cases I've read about. Never run into one, but absolutely that, you know, you would feel him around and you could feel the presence. I mean, do you often feel like he's there? Because I don't remember the full. Yeah, then, you know, talk to him. I mean, find out what he wants. He may even appear to you if you continue to work with it.
Oh, I do have one question, though. You know when people say, like, you see yourself, like a doppelganger?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I've actually seen myself, and, okay, I was going to the restroom, and I guess my other me was going to the restroom, and I had to go so bad, I just looked and said, me first, and the other me kid that's like, who are you? What are you doing here? That's me. Kind of look.
Colleen, you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay.
Well, I've never experienced anything like that, no.
I have personal experience seeing a doppelganger, but it wasn't me. But I have a story about me having a doppelganger. My family, especially all my aunts, my mother is not the only gifted one. My aunt, who is now living in Hawaii, my aunt Joanne, was staying with us for quite some time. And one day she goes out to the laundry room and she's getting the laundry. And I come around the corner in the hallway in our main ranch house, and I see her coming up, and she's walking by me with this frozen-looking face, and I'm looking at her like, what is wrong with you? Then I realize that what I'm looking at is not human. It's gray, and it's walking really funny, and I turn around, and it disappears right in front of me, and I'm standing there with my mouth wide open going, what the? And so I step into the kitchen, turn around, and here comes Joanne, and her nickname in our family is George or Georgie. And I look at George, and I go, and she's looking right up at me. She goes, oh, my God, you saw that. And I go, yeah, I saw that. There's two of you. What the hell is going on? And she goes, she looked all embarrassed. She goes, I don't mean to do that. Sometimes I project and I'm in two places at once. And I go, what the hell are you doing? I mean, how does that work? And she goes, I just do it. And I go, I don't get it. How did you do that? And she's just going, I just do it. And we had a long conversation. And she's had this happening all her life. And
oh.
I go, what were you doing? She's going, I was just looking ahead to see where I was going. I go, are you?
Oh, man.
What the frig is this? So, you know, I mean, I didn't think, there's no way in a million years I'll ever have something like that happen with me, right? Well, about 2 years ago, my mother sits there and she sees me go by in the kitchen. And I go, and she realizes I'm walking that same kind of frozen way. And meanwhile, I was, like, really engrossed in something in another part of the house. I come walking in and go, hi, Mom, what's going on? She's standing there looking at me like shocked. She goes, I just saw you go by. And I'm going, no, I'm right here. And she goes, no, I saw you go by. It was you, and it was walking by, and it had this really funky look in its face. And I went, you know, I was in a really weird state of mind at that point. And I had my mind on going into this other room, and I realized that's what it was, is I was thinking ahead about going this other place. And so I had this experience. I don't remember it transmitting information back. It wasn't like a video camera running, but I actually had a doppelganger. And
wow.
This does happen to people. I mean, it does happen. It's weird.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, running into yourself and having interaction.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's a new one. Now, if you could get into an argument with yourself about who was in the bathroom first.
Oh, I was going first no matter what.
the biological self is going, I don't care what you say, I'm going.
I know, when I came out, I was like, oh my God, I just seen myself. You know, I was like, I was telling everybody, it's like, but I didn't have time to have a conversation. I really had to go.
I mean, it's the emotion of the moment. And it seems like when you're just kind of, you're not quite in yourself, you're not thinking about anything other than some other thing, there's like a focus point, that's when it seems to kick this off. And so there's a real common thread here with the three different cases we're talking about. And it just seems like it shows that the human mind is not bound to the body and that there's more than one spiritual body that we have. And so your spirit body was off doing something while the physical body is trying to go to the bathroom. You know, hello.
Could it be like an interdimensional travel type thing?
Well, it is a form of that. I mean, when you look at, like, if you look in Brennan's book there with the Hands of Light, I mean, it shows the seven different spirit bodies. So, you know, there's a whole nother level, you know, multiple levels of spirit body that comprise the human being. And so it's not surprising that one with, like, an astral form of the body would just suddenly appear and just say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to stand in the bathroom and argue with you. Hello, and it's part of your lesson plan. Guess what? We're going to show you some really weird shit, and it's going to be really cool.
You're going to go, what? I've got to go. I'm just trying to go to the bathroom. And you're going to go, wow, man. And then your mind is completely tripped out. You're going, was I dropping acid or what? I don't know.
All I know is at the time, I was first. I was going to be first.
You're number one on the runway, and by God, you get it out in time. You know, that's the big thing before you mess your pants. You know, it's an important safety tip. Yeah, but absolutely, these things are, this is part of the lesson plan. I mean, they freaked the hell out of me with some of the things that happened to me, you know, in my early days of doing this work. I mean, I would just be in shock. You know, and now, I mean, they have to work hard at shocking me because I'm so used to this stuff. You know, it's like tonight, I mean, I was more worried that I had an intruder in the house, and then when I realized it was just a ghost, I was like, oh, okay, I saw you. You know, you're probably my father. You know, or a close relative, or just checking on my mother, you know. Okay, cool. I could get behind that, you know. But running into myself, not an everyday occurrence, but has happened.
One other question. And I've only done this twice, and usually I'm not, when it has happened, I'm not looking at the person, but one is when I was at work, and my boss was thinking it, but I heard it as he was saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And another one was basically the same thing. And when I said, okay, now you can go home, to my first boss, he goes, what are you talking about? And I go, well, you said you couldn't go home until this is done. This is done. Now go home. And he's like, I didn't say that. I said, yes, you did. And he goes, no, I only thought that. And he wouldn't come near me for 2 weeks. Now, is that a form of this, too?
Yeah, that's
the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, where I can't figure out how people heard me say stuff that I didn't say. I only thought it. And this has happened over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's classic psychic. That's a good psychic skill. I mean, you're literally you're practicing telepathy. You're receptive to it, and the human mind is a very capable instrument, and it has a lot of interesting, you know, abilities to produce emanations. I mean, it's electrical in nature, but it's not necessarily all there is. There's the spirit body too, and so. Whatever mechanism is at work, you're picking up on their thoughts. It's absolutely normal. A lot of people have had that. You know, you're not the first. It's freaky as hell when it happens. But you know, you're getting they're giving you kind of a round trip around your abilities. I would be writing this stuff down because and putting dates on it and keeping a running log of all the stuff going on with you because you're on the fast track, kid.
Well, I know one of my readings, I mean, I've only had, this is my third one, you told me I was going to be a speaker, and I'm not a speaker, but you told me I was going to be a speaker. I was going to get the word out.
Well, here you are.
I guess I am with you, Ma. I'm getting
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and you're speaking on the air, and people are going to listen to the show and hear about the things happening to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, I swore when I started this that I would never be talk about my gifts, and I would never be, you know, on air, and I would never do anything in mediumship in front of people, and I would never talk about the ghosts I've seen because I wanted to keep my career. Well, now I've got this show. I've already been on Sci-Fi Channel on Haunted Highway in front of the entire planet. I've done all this stuff. You know, and here I am, and I'm still here talking, and I hate to break it to you, but I'm going to stick by that. Yeah, you're going to be doing this stuff.
Yeah, me too. I said I was never going to make this full-time thing. It was like a nice little parlor trick, you know.
Yeah.
And I lose, you know, things happen, lost my job and a bunch of other stuff, so.
You're still here kicking, and you're still here talking, and you're on air. Yeah.
And I'm actually very shy. Why the hell would I have a radio show?
That's how I was. I looked at him and went, you got to be out of your flipping minds. I mean, I was doing some voiceover work, you know, and I had our family history in media and radio, but I didn't think I would do it. I thought you couldn't get me in front of a microphone, and for all the tea in China, I'm not going to go on the air. What am I going to tell these people? And then it was like, all of a sudden I realized, it's like, I'm supposed to do this. And they sort of pushed me into it, and they're real good at that. And, you know, Vicky, I'm sorry to tell you, your goose is cooked.
Yeah.
they got your ass. I'm sorry. You're
well,
done.
Well, I have to admit, you have really intrigued me by listening to your shows. Well, I'm at least brave enough to call in.
Oh, who, me? Little old me?
I called in your show, John, about, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I think, because you're like, well, you can talk to these people. It's like, oh, no, I just know some things sometimes. I don't actually
talk. Oh, you mean I'm the guy that encouraged you?
One of them.
Jeez.
Oh, God.
At least
what have I done? I've started an army of these people. There's mediums following me everywhere around, and I'm starting. I'm just a vehicle. Okay.
Just tells you how good you are.
You know, the thing is, one of the big lessons in mediumship, honestly, it's John Edwards says this so much, and I so agree with it. I mean, if you read his books, you're going to find out how humble the man is. I mean, despite his big presence in this business, he talks constantly about keeping your inner monster under control and your ego in check, because all you are is a messenger. And
Right. You
get this gift that you get, you don't realize the life of service you're going to lead. You don't realize the hard work and the heartbreaks and the things that go on and the self-doubt. Oh, my God, I wrestle with it all the time. And you keep wondering. You know, I mean, I wrestled like with this whole thing with the name, you know, that I gave you for Jesse. It's like, I'm going, do I say something? Do I not? And they're like, will you just say it? And I'm like, okay, I'll say it. Damn it, you know. And I still struggle with that, you know. And every medium knows what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, you know. And you have to reach way down deep to have the courage, you know.
And then when you first said his name, it's like my heart sank. I'm like, oh, please don't tell me he died. And then it's like, you said no uncle, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a shout out. I mean, they call out living names. The difficulty is that you know, in the beginning of your reading work, I'm only 2 years into this. You know, we're doing real mediumship work. I mean, I've been seeing and hearing spirits my whole life, but to actually form a bridge with the other side, and there's a formal process for this. I mean, I'm specifically trained in a system now, and when I do this work, I mean, I it's every day I do this is another training session, and so you know. But when you see the circuit mediums, the people that are professional, oh my God, they've been through some awesome training. I mean, they can do, you know, things that run circles around me, and I mean, I just look at them and go, wow. I hope I get that good one day. Totally, dude. But you know, it's just a thing that you do enough of, you're going to get there, you know. And you just the self doubt to get rid of it. That's the hard part.
I had that like crop up right in the middle of a reading. Like, what are you talking about? This is so full. You're so full of crap. You know, and it's like, shut up. I'm busy.
You know, I liken it to. You know, that when you have that little monster pop up, just kill it and just say, no, I'm going to listen to, you know, I'm going to listen to spirit, because you can finally, I don't know quite how to tell you how to do it. I just know that how I do it is that I'll see images that I know are not my own thoughts. If I didn't think it and it just suddenly popped in, that's spirit working.
Right.
And then I have to, the way I look at it is like a high dive. I just dive off the platform and trust that the water's there to catch me. And that's when I give those messages, because that's when I know I'm doing my job as a medium, is when I'm just I dive off that platform and I dive into the unknown, but I know the water will always catch me.
The big, real big thing was, you know, I was so afraid of being wrong, I wasn't going to say anything.
God, we're going to be wrong. I mean, a good medium, the best mediums are right only 60 to 70% of the time. I mean, that's the best.
Right.
And when you're starting off 20 and 30.
As an overachiever, that's not quite good enough for me.
That's the best it gets. I mean, John Edward, on a good night, will hit 70%, you know, and he'll be fumbling around to figure out what he's doing, you know. But you'll watch
that's what I'm saying. I had to get over that and get through
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know? I mean, you know what's the best part is, though? When you fumble and you get the symbol, and what they're doing is they're giving you a symbol that you don't quite get right, and it turns out it's for the best, because what happens is the sitter, the person you're reading, is going, oh, I get it, and I know what that is. And then suddenly you're like, oh, I said it wrong, but it was the right thing.
Yeah, John like, Edward had a story about that, because he kept seeing Mickey Mouse or something, and he said it was a symbol for something else. So he's going around and around with all his definitions when the message was the actual Mickey Mouse doll.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as this, the image I gave you. The thing is you can hit, and I've had to learn to do this the hard way. When you're actually with somebody you're reading, and you suddenly are hitting that sticking point with a sitter, you say, you look at them and you go, oh, I'm not sure. And I just explain it. I'll just say, I'm not sure if I'm getting this right or wrong. Let's put that to the side. That may be something that you need to confirm later, or it'll come to you after, and let's move on. And because the time is precious. And when we do the linkage with the spirit world, and that is called a link, I mean, they take the effort to connect to our psyche. They're stepping into our field. They're actually in our field of how we're able to sense. That link is all strong for only a short time. And then we have to pull away, because we can't sustain the link over a great length of time. Some spirits are better at it than others. Others are very esoteric, and you only get a little bit. So you'll find a tremendous variability in spirits. I mean, they're just, you know, some, I mean, I just, it's like that guy that came in, you know, for Evelyn, you know, with the accident in the car. I mean, he showed me really clearly the car, but I was getting, I don't get it. Why was he not in the car when he had the accident? What's going on with this thing? And boom, you know, then I find out what the whole story is. You know, but
right,
I gave
right.
it as I got it. I gave it as I got it. And I was like going bang, 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 you know. And I knew it, and it rolled right over his chest, you know. So I'm going, impact. But what's the car thing, and why wasn't it? So that's the thing, you know, the kind of mind space you get into. But when they give it and you are, you'll get a symbol and you can't make sense of it, just throw it away. You know, just tell them, put it to the side. But I will guarantee you, I've got a boatload of letters that I've kept over the years. Of people who come back to me and go, you know that thing you said on the show the other night? It turned out it was this. And I didn't remember because I had psychic amnesia and I forgot, you know, or, you know, my sister came to me and says, didn't you remember this? And it was meant for, you know, somebody else in the family, and they were just passing that symbol on, and it made total sense to them. So, you know, just trust the process, because it always seems to work out, you know.
Well,
and
I think, when I had a reading with you a while back, I did the same thing. You know, you tell me, you know, there's a Ted coming through. It's like, I don't know any Ted, you know. You must have got the name wrong or whatever. Yeah, well, I go back and look at my family tree. I got an Uncle Ted. You know?
I seem to remember. You know, that just triggered a memory there. It's like, I think I remember that reading. And that's the other thing.
Tom, but I don't know if he's dead, and it seemed like that whole side of that family, all my grandmother's brothers and sisters were coming through like in the next couple of weeks, and that's what triggered it. I had an Uncle Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, what's funny is trying to assign the people to the place they belong in the family tree, and you know, and I studied under a teacher from Imagine Spirit. Her name's Carol, and she's excellent. And she wrote some really interesting study guide. I mean, I did a self study guide, but then tested under her, and I've stayed in touch with her, and she's absolutely just a fantastic lady. And but she taught me the system, you know, where I would draw on paper and have like a cross where I would have, you know, father on one side, mother on the other, father for me on the left, mother on the right. And then on the page, it would be, I would associate, you know, for example, a pet will be more in the middle and kind of down at the bottom. And I'll be able to pick up a family pet who's passed. Or, you know, brother on the right, a father energy, you know, and brothers would be at a certain place. And now, I mean, I swear to God, I mean, I haven't even had time to do this yet. Last week, they came to me and said, oh, we're going to change your system. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I'm going, you got to be kidding. They're going, no, you're going to make a new matrix, and you're going to draw it this way, and I haven't had time to draw this yet, but they're working on improving my accuracy. So they're showing me an adjustment to the system that I've already learned, and they're going to change that. And I'm supposed to keep it with me as kind of a guide so I can improve on my readings. And they came to me with this, and I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? I'm doing fine. No, you're not. You need to work on this. Okay.
Yeah, they changed mine up without telling me. So it's like, this doesn't make any sense anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, but I've learned now to trust them. I mean, they are working their butts off, not for me. They're using me as the instrument to get through for the people that need to hear the word that their loved one is okay. That's what this is all about. I mean, when we read these people, their loved ones are just, oh, my God, you know. I lost, you know, Uncle Ted. I lost, you know, my wife. I lost my husband. Oh, I want to know they're okay. And it means the world to them. When you give them that, you've done your job, you know. And I don't care about the goddarned skeptics who think we're all a bunch of BS. I don't care about the ones that think that we're all doing, you know, this and that terribly. You know. And, I mean, when you really connect through and you get the thing that proves to them that their loved one was there, that's what this is for. That's what we do, man. I'm sorry, I'm on my soapbox, but they're making me.
Oh, no.
It reminds me of a conversation I had when I was first lost my house. I was staying with a friend, and I was doing like two shows a week doing readings, and he said, you know, I think that's a bunch of crap. I said, that's okay. I think what you do is a bunch of crap. And what he does is sell vacation packages. So, sorry with me. I don't like what you do either.
Oh, God. I love the ones where I sit there and all of a sudden I'll get spiritual, you know, intervention for them. And I'll start dropping names of family members who passed or starting to, and they'll just look at me like, oh, my God, you're from Mars. You know?
Yeah,
I'll just do stuff.
Yeah, and then
just
pretty soon I'm giving, you know, okay, well, what do you see? What do you see in my career? Like, you know, you didn't believe this stuff in the first place.
You know, it's funny. I do like shows here that are called pure mediumship, because I'll look at the psychic stuff and I'll get a lot of people who call in and want me to tell them how to live their lives, and I'm really frowned on that. I mean, I'll look at them and say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. And I'll tell them why. It's like, you know, I'll say, hey, this spirit came through and is saying some things about what you're doing and your possible choices, but they're not telling you how to do that. You signed on in this life to go live that life, and you're supposed to figure it out. And
exactly.
And then some of them get mad at me. I mean, it's like I just go, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm really talking to dead people here, and they got this message, and I just pass messages, man. I just a messenger, and.
Exactly.
I'm using a telephone,
exactly.
And I love being a telephone.
And it's funny because I was one of those, you know, I went to every show and called in every show and, you know, what's going on and where am I going? And, you know, it's not like I was going to believe them anyway.
You came through it and you saw what it really meant, you know, and the psychic stuff is valuable. So, you know, and there's, you know, you hear the word psychic medium a lot, you know, and all media, and I frankly don't like to use that term for myself, because I know that as a medium, I'm already psychic, but I don't look at psychicism. I look at it when I pick up things about people. Like the other day I was in getting massaged, and the massage therapist was working on me, and suddenly I see horses, and I'm thinking, why am I seeing horses? And then I see ribbons all around. And I think, wow. And she was skeptical of me. I mean, she knew I was a medium. And I was talking to her afterwards. So I said, hey, I got to ask you a question. And she goes, what? And I says, do you have horses in your past? And she goes, yeah, I used to show horses. I said, did you win ribbons? Well, no. And I said, well, what's the thing with all the ribbons then? She goes, oh, I was in 4-H. Now, that's psychic. I mean, that's not. Yeah, that just came through, that leaked through, that I picked that up. Does that really mean anything? No, it's just I happened to pick it up, you know, and it's just kind of a neat thing that you can sense what's going on with people, and you can work on that. Everybody's got that. The mediumship is a little different, you know. You're getting into touch with some very high realms. They're doing stuff with you, and they're messing with your head, and they're figuring out how to really frustrate the hell out of you a lot. They're really good at that.
I have a question. Can I ask you guys?
Yeah.
Have either one of you, I think I'm getting a cold, so my voice is getting weird, ever had the experience where you're looking at someone and it's like their skin gets really kind of like translucent and you see all this stuff moving under their skin and it's just really weird, like it's not even human.
That's actually applies to most members of Congress, but
I don't know, real life, John.
I know, I just had to do that. I couldn't resist. I have seen surprising things with people, not necessarily like that, but I've seen energies moving around people. Sometimes with an individual who I know is not particularly nice, I'll pick up strange fluctuations around them. Their aura can appear very dark, and you'll see things, but nothing quite like that for me. What about you, Colleen?
No, not really. I'd say the only time that I saw something was I saw somebody on the news, and it really had the lizard skin thing, which I didn't believe in the first place. You know, I thought that was all a bunch of, you know, scare tactics and stuff. Until I saw one on TV, and I was like, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, there's a lot more in this universe than people imagine.
You know, one of the things I want to do, though, is start looking at auras and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, tell me more, you know, about this, Nancy. I mean, what do you think it was?
I wasn't sure. This happened at work. This guy came in. He was a friend of this other lady that worked there. And I had never seen anything like that before. I wondered if I just could see things crawling under his skin. And
you
I could see like his, like just you know, it was just really... gave me the heebie-jeebies, really bad. And I just looked back at him, and I thought at him. I thought really hard, and I said, "You don't know who you're messing with."
It could be evil. I mean, that's kind of the impression I'm getting that you're sensing
of
it. It could also be that the man has. Has some sort of terrible disease like cancer. And,
that's how my feeling is. It was actually a disease running through.
You know what?
Yeah.
I thought of that. But you know what else? It's like he meant for me to see this. And it was almost like he had a leer on his face.
If that's
you know.
The case, then I would trust my instincts. If you're getting that, that's probably there are people out there who practice some very dark things and who are very talented with those, you know, certain skills. And you know, we who work in the light can see these things sometimes. And you know, I've run into people that are very dark. I mean, people that creep me out. And I've run into a few even on BTR. You know, that I've had dealings with who had a very negative agenda. And you just have to be, you know, the thing is, don't be scared of it. You know, you did the right thing. You came back forcefully and pushed back, and it's like it probably surprised him. He wanted you to fear, and if that was the case, it didn't work. You know, the big thing is you're aware. There's something in the, you know, I work in the defense industry, and there's something called situational awareness in the fighter pilot parlance, and it means that you know you're not walking around in a blind haze. You're aware of your environment. You're looking around, and I'm constantly doing that. And that's because I'm aware that you know I'm a light, like you two are lights. You know, all three of us. You know, we give off a an emanation that attracts that stuff to us. And so you're working at it. You just work at it to keep it away from you. You know, and.
Yeah.
You know, if you just practice right and you call on God, I mean, you know, Vicky, you called on that help for you.
The light.
Yeah, I mean, you did the right thing. That's absolutely right. And the reason you did that, you know, I'm getting told this, the reason you did that is because you've done the work before in prior lives. So you knew what to do.
Yeah.
Good.
So, welcome to the club.
I have one other question. Both my sisters had gotten sick, and they weren't sure which way it was going to go. And I closed my eyes, and I asked God if he could show me a sign. And it was on the right side, and it started out white, and it turned, and it was like a lily that opened up, and I portrayed it as they were going to live. And so far, they're doing fine.
You are you showing all the signs of a healer energy with you. And by the way, we're at 12:14. So if this show drops off, it's not because I did it. It's because this whole blog talk will drop the stream. So just be aware, if we just drop off, that's the end of the show. What I'll say is this. You are showing, every time you open your mouth and you talk more about this stuff, you're showing signs of being a healer energy. You've got healer talent. I would give it a try. I mean, if you're able to scan, that's called being a medical intuitive, and you're able to emanate stuff and you're changing. Yeah, I would try laying hands on people and see what happens. You may
I have done that. They'll rub their hands a few times and then they'll touch someone, and they'll tell me my hand's extremely hot.
You're fitting all the bill here. If it were me, I'd be looking into some of the local healing groups around and see about having them test you out and check out, you know, what just the extent of your gifts.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're showing all the signs. I've run into this a bunch of times.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Really quick. Remember that picture I took, that thing moving around in my room? That light
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Okay, I thought it might have been my mom, but I just want to ask you this. Do you think it was somebody younger than my mother, a younger female? It was female. Or do you think it could have been like an older person like my mom?
I'm going to lean to older.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I think it's just who you thought it was.
Okay.
Yeah, no changes there.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. Wow, what a night we've had, my friends.
Well, if we could cross off, I want to say thank you to everyone.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm just glad we were able to answer so many questions. I mean, you're an up-and-comer here, and you're new to the block, so had to do that.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on, John.
Yeah, Colleen, thank you. I mean, you did some great readings, and and I was just surprised that I've actually read you before and encouraged you to all that time ago. I had no clue.
Oh, yeah. I still want you to come down to Black Diamond Mine, though.
One of a few people that were like, why aren't you just doing this? Like, why are you calling me?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, and that's the thing is, you'll give these readings and then you forget about what you did. I mean, do you have the same thing? Do you give the reading and it's like right out of your head?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm trying to write the book now, and I'm having to appeal to all these people who I read. They're like, and I have to explain to them, I'm not a complete dimwit. I just switch off my memory unit so when I'm doing this work, and I totally forget everything I just said to you. And it's because I'm supposed to. And now
like,
it's like.
Who write you and say, oh, you know that thing we were talking about? And it's like,
absolutely. Yeah, and I'll go, huh? I said that? And then I, you know, but it's like, what's really nice is people are coming back to me and working with me and saying, okay, this is about the date you did it. Now I could pull it out of archives now and be able to, you know, and I'll be able to write to that. You know, and it's just like, oh my God. But there's some of the ones that are out of the park readings that you could never forget. That I've already got on paper, but oh dear God, it's just, you know, Vicky, get used to it. You're going to forget all this stuff. You read them, they go through the chute, they're gone. You go on to the next one because you're there. That's all you are. You're a messenger. Get used to it. And when you heal them, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to forget all about it. You're going to go on to the next one because you're there for spirit, and they just want to wash that all out of your system and keep you doing the work. That's all they care about. And they thank you, and you're doing a very high level thing. What we do is very high level. They love us for it, and we volunteered, And when we get to the other side, we get a really cool kick-ass party and some gold watches.
Do we? Oh, very good.
Oh, I thought it would have been a cross pin.
Yeah, well, you know, they'll give you a slight, well, for the ladies, they give you more jewelry, you know, me and gold watch.
Oh, yeah, we like that sparkly stuff, yeah.
I just want a Mustang, and I want a really killer Mustang, a Cobra Mustang when I get there.
Oh, me too, like, me too.
Yeah, I want God's Mustang for a while. I can drive that.
They're going to give you a pair of really fast wings.
I just want the Porsche.
You just want the Porsche?
I just want the party, yeah.
I just want the party. Yeah, the party's good. I mean, I would just like to walk in and go, yeah, I did some good, you know. And the thing is we've done this before. I mean, a lot of us who do this work we've been at it before, you know, and we lead highly spiritual lives. I mean, John Holland was talking about it in the book I was mentioning earlier. He talked about how he had lives. It always is a religious person, spiritual person. It was a constant theme. So we've all done this before. We just have to remember and then have the confidence that, you know, going forward to kind of dive into that. Yeah.
And that's so weird because I have all this knowledge medical knowledge that I don't know where it came from, you know.
Yeah, and that's absolutely, you carried that forward, and your higher self just brings that through when you need it. And then it suddenly appears and you go, where the hell did that come from, you know?
What?
Yeah, and it's amazing. I find things I'm doing it. I go, where did I pick that up? I don't remember learning that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know.
Do you find it the other way, too? Like, you know, I decided I wanted to study, you know, I like looking at maps. Well, now I'm very good at telling people where to go look for jobs or where they're moving to, very specific street signs and everything. And I find out, oh, well, all this stuff that I just, you know, did on impulse, now I'm using.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I just started picking up Italian and Spanish. They're telling me I have to learn these two new languages. And I'm like, what? All right. I'm learning Italian and Spanish. I mean, here I am. I'm, you know, I live in California. I'm born in Texas. Casa de Pepe. I son lost the ass. I'm sitting there rattling this stuff off in the car, listening to my tapes, going, "Okay, somehow this is going to benefit me." I have no friggin' clue, but I'm going with what they asked me to do. So I'm learning Italian. Maybe I'll meet a hot Italian woman. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Or a hot Spanish woman.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
a hot Bay Area woman. There's a hot Bay Area woman who's my co-host, so I'll have to talk to her. So.
I don't know. I think there's a blonde coming for you, John.
A blonde?
You're blonde?
Oh, yeah. My God. Well, I'm working on it, you know. I'm just keeping my options open. Yeah, the hot blonde who hangs out with my mother. That's right. Oh, dear God. I never thought I'd have it in for a spirit. You know, it's like, oh, she's cute. I want to date her. Oh, damn. She's dead. The woman's dead, and I can't even go and just say hi. Jeez. This ain't right. I mean, I'm getting cheated. I mean, she's going to come up to me afterward and just go, you were checking out my ass? Is that what you really? Well, yeah. You turned just right. Of course a man's going to look.
You turned just right.
Right. I'm not dumb. I'm not blind.
They like doing that kind of stuff to us.
Well, yeah. I mean, leave it to me to get the hot ghost who's unavailable. God. I mean,
she might be waiting for you on the other side.
I was just going to say. I was just going to say she's waiting for you, John.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get a flesh and blood woman. I'm going to get a flesh and blood woman. Thank you. One here that I can actually touch and say hi and buy things for and take her out for dinners and stuff and dance with her. Jeez. But, you know, but she looked so real. God, it was like, oh. Anyway, I was all dressing up. I was all sprucing up. Ooh, I get to meet this really cute girl. There she is.
And she's dead.
Yeah, and then I'm looking up. I get outside and I'm shaking my fist at the sky going, you bastards. Why? And I know they're laughing at me right now. They think this is funny. Oh, God. I'm going to catch it tonight. Oh, man. Guys, this has been great. I'm glad to be sitting in a chair tonight with all of you.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to do a show tomorrow, so I'll tell you what. I'll set that up before I go to bed tonight. I'll grab the slot, and we'll do some more readings like this stuff. This has turned out to be a load of fun. I mean, did you guys all have a good time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that
was
great.
Can I ask you? Is it going to be the same phone number?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It'll be the same show, same phone number, everything.
Oh, cool.
Okay?
Okay.
Take time.
Yeah, I'm doing part of that marathon they got going tomorrow. So I'm
doing
Stan's show.
Okay. Well,
extravaganza.
You're doing extravaganza.
Yeah.
Extravaganza.
The being extravaganzas, yes.
All right, we'll do a mediumship extravaganza just to see if we can attract you.
There you go. There you go.
We'll pull you in. But I know I'm about to probably go off stream here. So, but thank you guys. I mean, it was just a blast tonight. I mean, I'm sorry, Rebecca, I didn't get to you. If you dial in tomorrow, because I see you on hold there. I'll bring you in first, so just I will, and I'll remember your Diffliflaflaflaflaf name there that I haven't seen in my board. So I'll bring you on first because you waited a long time, and we love you. So anyway, everybody, I'm going to go ahead and call it. So thank you again. I mean, it was just wonderful.
All right, see you tomorrow.
Night, folks.
Night, everybody. We love
you
guys. All right. We are going to close it out. And Nancy, always a good show. Having
I
you
know.
With
it was
always
great.
You're beautiful.
It was very, very great. And it went really fast, and there was tons of people.
Yeah, I mean, the readings were excellent. I mean, it just flowed. You know, Colleen was kicking butt, and I was jumping in there, and we did some tag team work, and I felt like a wrestler. You know, oh, okay, you take this one, you take that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out really, really good.
Now,
I mean,
I just
what you didn't
throw...
cover, she covered, and what she didn't cover, you covered.
Yeah, and now I'm going to have to run out and go past the animal that I know is waiting to get my ass outside. This is going to be tough.
What kind of animal?
I don't know, but I'm going to go run really fast.
I mean, is it of this realm?
Oh, it's a physical animal. It was running around out there. You know, I stepped outside and I heard it go run right by me. And I'm like, what the frig was that?
Oh,
and
okay.
It was, so I think it was like a possum or I had a skunk or something.
Oh.
So, yeah,
okay,
I'm going
well,
to try to avoid. I'm going to avoid the skunk thing, you know?
Okay. Well, good luck to you.
All right, dear. Well, thanks a lot. I love you.
Okay. Love you too. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. This is Soul Stream. We're going to sign it off and see you guys tomorrow night. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.